mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is already the 15th day of October 2008. We're going to be live here for the next 4 hours. Big news day, very important news day today, and we'll go through that news here in just a moment. The creator of the film Zeitgeist and Zeitgeist 2, Zeitgeist Addendum, will be joining us for 2 hours today. In fact, Press TV from Iran, it's worldwide called, and it's one of the biggest channels, even in places like England, wanted me on at 3 o'clock, and I told them I'd have to do it next week because I didn't want to cut back this interview that we are doing. I will be on Press TV for an hour this Saturday at 1 o'clock Central. I know that's on a lot of cable systems here in the United States, and I'll be on Russian TV next week on Russia Today worldwide. And then on Election Day, I'm going to be on multiple programs there worldwide. It's one of the biggest channels, as I said, in Europe and England, not just Russia. So that's certainly exciting there. By the way, I forgot yesterday, I had a long, about 30-minute conversation with Jesse Ventura. I called up just double-checking his plane tickets and hotel, and he began to excitedly tell me about the shoots they've been doing for the first episode, the first pilot episode that's scheduled to air in about 6 months or so or less on True TV, the new Court TV. And I can't tell you the stuff he was telling me, but it's investigative reports type stuff. It's going to be ultra riveting. Jesse Ventura going around confronting people. I'm just going to leave it at that. It's going to be extremely informative and extremely interesting. So that is something that in the next few weeks we may be able to tell you a little bit more about after he's done doing some more of the confrontations that he is planning. He is coming into town. He'll be there the 25th, 26th, and leaves the 27th. And I'm shuttling him about. I haven't figured out yet. He said he'd be happy to have a press conference about 9/11 and other issues. I know the media would like to talk to him. I haven't figured out whether to publicly call him one of those. I haven't even, I know I'm going to be interviewing him. I don't know if I'm going to do the Sunday show the day he's here, because we're speaking at around 10 o'clock at night, right before Willie Nelson goes on at the last show in the backyard. I'm going to speak, Willie's going to speak, and Ventura's going to speak. And we're going to be sending that out live over the internet for free for everybody, by the way, at Infowars.com. Because these Willie shows, I mean, it was sold out the day they basically announced it. You can still get scalper tickets from some people for two or three times what they actually cost. But regardless, that'll be going out over the web. That's interesting. And that is coming up. So a few things I've been forgetting to announce here on the radio. I've been so busy. So, again, that's going to be quite informative and interesting. And that is coming up on the 26th and will be, again, free at Infowars.com. Just to put it out in decent bandwidth, if 20,000, 30,000 people come watch it, it'll probably cost me about $5,000. That's how much bandwidth costs, even if you're buying it in bulk, unless you're Google and Yahoo, who tie into these big government-financed hubs, basically our government fronts. See, that's why they have unlimited, so they can control the market. So much of the capital we have goes to bandwidth, and just to do something free like that is, well, it's not free. Somebody's paying for it, and it's me, but it's going to be interesting, so we'll do it. So tell folks about that coming up to 26. And you'll get to see the performances streamed live over the web, too, at the historic last event at the backyard overlooking the hills of Central Texas. Okay, serious news, jam-packed info, key information, important radio show lined up today in a discussion, somewhat of a debate, with the creator of Zeitgeist.
Big Brother. mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen, into the second segment. Again, a discussion, somewhat of a debate, but a friendly discussion with the creator of Zeitgeist, Peter Joseph, coming up for 2 hours today in the third and fourth hour. Okay, here is the financial news running down through it. The stock market's down 300 and something points last time I checked. Banks dictate conditions of U.S. financial bailout. They control it completely. They are becoming the government. It isn't the government nationalizing them. It's the banks becoming the government, as we've been telling you, but great article from Global Research on that. Bloomberg, Americans embrace big government to help solve market crisis. All part of this continual parroting by the mainstream controlled press, but the public is for this. We're all coming together. We love socialism. This isn't even socialism. This is corporate fascism takeover. This is just literally elite banking system seizing the economy and seizing the dollar while it still has value, buying up real resources and infrastructure. But again, that headline is mirrored in hundreds of places every day. I watched an hour of financial news this morning on the treadmill, and it was all the same message over and over and over again. Americans embrace big government to help solve market crisis. But Americans are not embracing it. The foreign international banks that have hijacked our country have engineered it, and they're forcing us into it. On other financial news, feds give hundreds of billions to banks but get only non-voting shares in banks. That's out of the George Washington Blogspot with links to mainstream news reporting that, and that mirrors the report out of banks dictate conditions of U.S. financial bailout. Global stocks retreat as risk aversion returns, Reuters. So that's some of the financial news that I want to go over. There's two other top stories up on Infowars.com right now. Time for a global glasnost, says Gorbachev, basically a global government run by the banks. So he's out saying that. There is another report up on Infowars.com from the Yorkshire Post saying, after the economic 9/11, we will face a new world order. And you can link over there and read that full report. And it's saying, oh, because of this crisis that happened by accident, we've got to have a new world, basically socialist order, run by the banks that implemented all of this. And oh, it was an accident that they did it. They just hate getting unlimited power. They hate taking over everything. But somebody's got to run everything and organize society in a planned economy. So we'll be breaking down those reports. There is a multi-pronged attack, really more than 20 prongs that I can just think of on the top of my head, but in subsections to each one of those attacks, taxing the web, restricting the web, internet too, making you get a subdomain, no private individual websites, but only subdomains on corporate or institutional sites, restricting free speech, massive web filters, ending net neutrality, the list goes on and on. But one of the big ones is that you're having, quote, free government Wi-Fi. Free government wireless internet. Of course, it's not free. You pay for it through taxes, and it's a giant corporate welfare to a select two or three maximum private corporations that then have government support and backing and a regulatory streamlining for them so that they get the monopoly of the new powerful wireless internet. So, again, advertise is free. Not free, but that's only one facet to it. This is a story up on PrisonPlanet.com by Paul Joseph Watson. Free nationwide Wi-Fi network to censor political websites, blogs, social networks, alternative news to be filtered out. And they say themselves, under the FCC, that there's only going to be a few companies that are going to allowed to do this, Google and a few others, and that it will be highly censored and regulated. Only a few thousand choices approved of ports And then, of course, when you jump onto the wireless free that you're paying for government internet, again, they're setting up monopolies. This is not free market. It'll be blamed as the free market later. You will go to a government-approved port that will then allow you to go to the anointed and selected places. Both in competing parties, M2Z Networks and the FCC are jockeying for the rights to roll out the network, but both have already stated their intent to install filters to block out pornography and anything else deemed harmful. And the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, is talking about, again, rolling out a purely government system and then other systems like M2Z. According to the Daily Tech Report, both proposals stipulate that any free wireless offerings have mandatory content filters preventing users from viewing any material that would be harmful to teens and adolescents, including pornography and anything contemporary community standards deemed to be obscene. Free speech advocates call this condition unconstitutional, and it will again set the precedent for the, quote, free internet that we pay for. Nothing is free, folks, and they are bringing in massive controls through that. As we have previously reported, similar free Wi-Fi networks on smaller scales include mandatory content filters that screen out even mildly political websites. So Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com are screened out by the government hubs that are, quote, free in the city centers in England. We've done previous articles on that. So we are banned. Even mildly political websites that are not part of the corporate establishment media. London's St. Perica's International free Wi-Fi network blocks a barrage of alternative political websites, as we found earlier this year when our own sites were inaccessible on the network. And then it's got ABC News reporting on this. And the FCC insists on trying the creation of a free nationwide broadband wireless network to government-mandated censorship. The constitutionality of the plan will surely be challenged in court and will be struck down, reports the site. Also, they're passing city rules, and in some countries passing national rules, where if you offer, quote, free internet in your coffee shop, which it isn't really free, it's to get you to come into the coffee shop, but it's a nice thing to offer, that you have to put filters on it to protect children in case children were driving by or in the street using your wireless network, tapping into it. No, it's up to the parents, it's up to their guardians to not let them have those devices or to surveil what they're doing. That's what the parents' job, not the state, and to put content filters they choose on their access devices. So that's the bottom line of what's going on there. Instead, the state will play mommy and daddy over the people. And you will not be able to visit PrisonPlanet.com or Infowars.com, just like MySpace won't let us send bulletins out on our page most of the time. And they've openly admitted they do censor us, and that's made the newspapers. They said, yes, PrisonPlanet.com is not allowed, and it is on the list of banned bulletins. Other people who try to send out bulletins with PrisonPlanet.com have been banned. And so that has been in the news. And that's just us here being censored. And so as they create, you know, two or three, as they always do with these oligopolies, these cartels of nationwide free internet that the citizens pay for, then you will not be able to access our sites. And this is all part of trying to stop the viral spread of the information revolution that the alternative media is debating and codifying and moving forward with exponentially in this huge college of ideas, this huge great debate that we're having. That's what this show is. I mean, we'll have a Rothschild on who I don't agree with. And people say, how dare you have a Rothschild on? That means you're in bed with them. No, I had him on to make him look like a fool, and I did. When he said that Mars didn't have ice caps or that Mars and Jupiter and Saturn and Pluto were closer to the sun than Earth, that's why their ice caps were melting when the sun was going through its brightest cycle, hottest cycle ever recorded. Now it's gone into the coldest ever seen in almost 300 years. They've been recording the sun that long. One of the most studied things by science. But, you know, how dare you have Rothschild on? Well, the point is we're having him on. Just like one time I had Pat Buchanan on and brought up Bohemian Grove and the weird sexual stuff that goes on there. And at first he's like, yeah, I go to Bohemian Grove. I went there with Nixon. And I said, oh, really? For the did you see any of the homosexual activity? He went, oh, I mean, I didn't go to Bohemian Grove. That was an interview like 5 years ago. You know, and we have him on. Don't agree with everything Pat Buchanan says. Don't agree with everything he's done. Do agree with a lot of what he has to say. The point is that I agree with a lot of what Zeitgeist has to say. But I don't agree with their attack on religion or the making fun of people that believe in it. You know, it is religion that developed the ideas, as Michael Tesserian said yesterday, that grew into the science we have today. It was the mind, you know, reaching out and realizing there's something bigger and that we have a greater destiny. And what we can envision, we are able to later build. It may take many generations, but we do it. So we've got him coming on for 2 hours. It is no endorsement of Zeitgeist. You know, I get to be attacked by people because my footage is in Zeitgeist, which they used, you know, up front without asking. And then I also conversely get to be attacked when I disagree with Zeitgeist. Well, again, we should be more open-minded to have open discussions about all of this, and that is what we're doing here. Just like 9/11 being an inside job, going from 90% of people thinking I was a nut when I first brought it forward, until now 80%+ believe the government's lying about the official story. You know, truth goes through three phases. We'll be right back.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. We're the renegades in this atomic age. This atomic age of renegades.
All right, we're back live, ladies and gentlemen. We were covering the story by Paul Watson. Free nationwide Wi-Fi network to censor political websites. And that's how they're doing it. They just upgrade the web, and the people having their own access to it, being able to have their own websites and true choice, that's not going to be part of it. Just under this system. And then they're admitting they're going to design the computers only for receiving on these more powerful Wi-Fi connections. And, of course, that'll be where the real quality's at. So you'll want the new computer that only has that upgrade. They'll just leave the old web, which was the real web, the free web, the expansive, ever-growing web, behind. They've got to do it. They want the Internet to be the worldwide wiretap. That's what the NSA joked in the 80s and called it. Not what they told the public, the World Wide Web. That was another inside joke, a web of control, instead of it being World Wide Whoop-Ass on the New World Order. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm out of control. I apologize for that. Oh, man. Look, the genie's out of the bottle, Pandora's box, horse has already left the barn. You can try to put it back in the box. It's not going to happen. The people now know about the New World Order. The question is, will the New World Order be able to dominate and control with the police state and with physical tyranny the population? And they've said they'll release biological weapons, race-specific weapons to control populations. If all of us wake up and say no, they'll just release bioweapons and wipe most of us out, including their own cops and military. Or if we try to seize control of major cities, march on Washington, march on London, like the founders did. No, that's it. They'll just neutron bomb us. Now, I'm not trying to be negative and say, oh, God, there's no way out. I want you to realize what the Pentagon, what the British Ministry of Defense have said they're ready to do. This is stated. I mean, they've got all of Parliament under surveillance, all of Congress under surveillance. It's come out and been admitted. Who has it? The criminal, illegitimate government. The military-industrial complex owned by the foreign private banks. And they tell Congress, hey, you do what we said or we'll just abolish you. You understand? You got that straight? You know, if blackmail won't work and if payoffs won't work, we'll just destroy you in the media. And if your whole body stands up against us, we'll just throw you out. And you know what? If the public doesn't like it and tries to march on us, NORTHCOM will just blow you to bits. Now, they can't stop us with helicopters and conventional weapons and tanks and machine guns. We outnumber them 1,000,000 to 1. And most of the troops and military are on our side now. That's why the enemy will use tricks. They will use deception. They will use sleight of hand. They will shut off the money supply so people riot and crime explodes so you beg for troops. They will release a biological weapon and say Al-Qaeda did it, Al-Qaeda did it. So you learn to love them and beg them for help. And they'll even have a cure for you. They'll even have the vaccine. You'll learn to worship them. Only by understanding they've talked about all this and planned it all and having a mass awakening and just saying, we don't go along with you anymore. We don't participate anymore. We turn our backs on all of you. This system is corrupt and bankrupt, and then taking cities over by city-by-city basis with the leaders openly saying, don't launch a bio attack, don't set off a nuke, we know you're terrorist. And that sounds like it's impossible? Well, let me tell you something. They're going to continue to rape the economy. They're going to destroy the economy, bringing in that crisis to offer their solution, socialism, controlled by the corporate fascists that sit above us, socializing our wealth, making it communal, so there's no middle class so they can control us, so we're on the dole, while they fascistically pipe the consolidated control into fewer and fewer levers of manipulation. So there is a way to defeat these people, and it's mass total awakening, and it's mass total awakening by their compartmentalized minions who sit in the different strata, the different control rooms of the societal, economic, psychological system, only by the preachers waking up and speaking out, only by the mayors waking up and speaking out, only by the technicians and technologists and engineers waking up and speaking out, only by the people, the school teachers, the cops, the auto mechanics getting up and saying, no, can we turn this around? People throughout the system seeing how they're compartmentalized, getting outside the box. In T-minus 1 hour and 27 minutes, Peter Joseph, the creator of Zeitgeist 1 and 2, just called Addendum, two-hour visit with him here on air. Just to give you an idea of what we're going to be debating and discussing, here is a little clip from one of the futurists. He's an engineer who is prominent in the film. Here it is.
We're such an abominable, sick society that we won't make the history book. That you say that large nations took land from smaller nations, used force and violence. You get history talked about as corrupt behavior all the way along until the beginning of the civilized world. That's when all the nations worked together. World unification, working toward common good for all human beings, and without anyone being subservient to anyone else, without social stratification, whether it be technical elitism or any other kind of elitism, eradicated from the face of the earth. The state does nothing because there is no state. Because there is no state.
To all that are left of the old engineers and mechanics have pledged ourselves to salvage the world. We have the airways, all that's left of them. We have the seas. And we have ideas in common. The brotherhood of efficiency. The Freemasonry of science. This is how I conceive our plan of operations. First, the roundup of Briggs. That last dismal vestige of ancient predatory soldiery. The last would-be conquerors. Then settle. Organize. Advance. This zone, then that. And at last, wings over the world. And a new world begins.
Yeah, we've heard all this before. The withering away of the state. We'll be discussing that today. We'll be going over that later. All right. I want to now get into the economy. And I'm going to open the phones up at 1-800-259-9231. And all of you are welcome to call in on the show specifically about all the discussions of martial law we've seen now breaking into the mainstream news, the hyperinflation that is already here and is going to be intensifying in the next couple of years with devastating effect. We will be discussing all of that today. Before I get into the economy, I wanted to first talk about Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck engages in a lot of doublespeak, or I should say not even doublespeak, talking out of both sides of his mouth. One show, he says, basically use the military on people that disagree with the government, implies that the Ron Paul movement are terrorists, says that there has to be restrictions on, you know, the We Are Change and 9/11 truth groups confronting politicians. Basically, he goes along with the talking point we saw the last year from CNN to MSNBC to CNBC to Fox, saying taser 9/11 truthers, arrest 9/11 truthers, take us to prisons. And then what happened is Glenn Beck got throttled by his listeners, and now he talks about the New World Order, how they're setting up a global banking system, because now it's time for that to come out. Now the mainstream media, from the Wall Street Journal, the BBC, to the Yorkshire Post, Mikhail Gorbachev, the left, the right, Donald Trump, they're all saying this is good, a government run by the banks for the good of the people, as the banks are given all the remaining liquidity and the public gets nothing so they can consolidate everything. We have nothing, they have everything. And they tell the foolish public that it's socialism. No, it's just crime. So Glenn Beck, if you will remember, back in November, mid-November 2007, we wrote stories at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. He came out and did a 10-minute diatribe with Winston Churchill's grandson and all, you know, talking about how Americans were out of control and dangerous and threatening the government. And he had another neocon, ex-Marxist David Horowitz, smearing Ron Paul supporters basically as terrorists and saying we were in bed with Islamic fascist and bin Laden. I mean, no, we're not the Bushes with the Saudi Arabians and the Wahhabists. Just on and on and on. So I wanted to play this clip first and then get to Glenn Beck two nights ago, October 13th, talking about Plan B. First, he comes in with the Weimar Republic and a wheelbarrow of money to buy a loaf of bread. And then acts like the banks, this is all happening by accident. And, you know, do we need a global government to fix it? Is that coming? He's introducing, and then he says, Plan B, use the military to carry this out. And then he comes in and says, it's kind of a bad thing to threaten Congress with the military. See how it's openly being introduced, because now we're coming up to the time for all this to happen. They have to emerge. They have to come from under the sea of ideas and information hidden from white papers and government documents to plain view, but putting their spin on it. So here is Glenn Beck, and the clip has a lot of horrible stuff. I can't play the whole 10-minute clip, but you can go watch the whole thing if you want up on Infowars.com from last year, bad-mouthing the Ron Paul movement and talking about enemies who are domestic and needing to use the military. Here it is.
You know, I was thinking this morning, when you enlist in the military, you have to take an oath that says you're going to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. On this program, we talk a lot about the foreign threats. Maybe tonight we should spend some time on the growing domestic one. It's easy to sit back and watch television and complain that our politicians aren't listening to us, that they're lying to us about the border, about out-of-control spending, or their apparent relentless quest to hand our country over to special interests. It feels, at least to me, like our leaders reflect an America that most of us don't even recognize. Well, here's the point tonight. While our foreign enemies are the obvious ones, the physical threat maybe developing domestically as well. And here's how I got there. As I told you last week, Ron Paul raised over $4 million in one day. That's huge news. His supporters raised the cash on November the 5th to commemorate Guy Fawkes. This guy was a British terrorist who tried to overthrow the government by blowing up Parliament and killing everybody in it. Paul's supporters called the donations, and I'm quoting, a money bomb. Fox was caught the very last minute, some say with his hand on a torch about to light the gunpowder under Parliament. Now, the vast majority of Paul's supporters take this little metaphor the way it's intended, as a rallying cry to create a dramatic political shift. It's really not the way I would go, you know, tying my movement in with a historical terrorist attack, in especially in post-9/11 America. But hey, you know, I'm a libertarian at heart. I get it. You raise money however you want, as long as you're not blowing other people up. But America, here's what you need to know tonight. Ron Paul's supporters are tapping into something that's very real. It's something that I've talked about on this program for a very long time. The rising tide of disenfranchisement in this country. And it's coming from all sides of the political spectrum. If that feeling of disenfranchisement leads to political discussion, then our system works perfectly. But if fringe elements take that disenfranchisement and turn it into violence, we endanger the freedoms we're supposedly all fighting for. David Horowitz is the author of Indoctrination U, The Left's War Against Academic Freedom, and Jonathan Sands. He is a writer and founder of Churchill's Britain. He is also the great-grandson of Sir Winston Churchill. Jonathan and David, it's good to have you here. Jonathan, let me...
All right, that's enough.
Let me start with you.
And then it goes into how we're terrorist and his guest. You know, say Ron Paul, people are controlled by Al-Qaeda and Lou Rockwell, who's really milquetoast, is, you know, with Al-Qaeda. So that's the type of stuff he's been doing. The, you know, the basic talking point in showing U.S. troops on the streets to keep us safe from the Ron Paul money bombers. A, they go on to say Ron Paul had the idea of Guy Fawkes. No, it wasn't even Guy Fawkes. It was the idea of the movie V for Vendetta. And that movie about the fight against tyranny. Okay, so it was even an expression of that, and it didn't come from Ron Paul. And the money bomb term, as I've talked to the people that originally invented the idea, it came from the idea of the InfoWar, which I certainly didn't invent, but I popularized with InfoWars.com 12 years ago, how these are weapons and how my films are info bombs and how we're out blasting holes in the facade of lies. Now, this is Glenn Beck two nights ago, and there's many facets to this, why this is so important. It's all over mainstream news now. Yeah, there may be martial law. Yeah, the troops may be needed. And then his guest, Mr. Schiff, who we've had on as well, says, well, you know, I think the people are going to want the troops. You know, we're going to have riots. Well, yeah, the establishment, the social engineers, the social planners, they know exactly what they're doing. So all of this will be presented in a way where it looks like it's needed. That's the key to these propaganda wars, their info war against us. So here is Glenn Beck.
Somebody, I talked to somebody at church yesterday, and he said, I was reading something about Peter, and I want you to stick around for a second after the break. I want to talk to you about something else that has been on my mind, and apparently, at least according to one of my friends at church, you, it's on your mind as well. When people are frightened, they make different decisions than they would when they were feeling safe or secure. Sometimes when that fear is justified, it's common sense. But when that fear is manufactured, it feels an awful lot like coercion. For instance, when the U.S. bailout bill was trying to be jammed through Congress, some members say there was an organized effort to scare them into signing. Here is the California Democratic Congressman Brad Sherman.
Many of us were told in private conversations that if we voted against this bill on Monday, that the sky would fall, the market would drop 2,000 or 3,000 points the first day, another couple thousand the second day, and a few members were even told that there would be martial law in America if we voted no. That's what I call fear-mongering.
Okay. We've called this congressman's office. He's not speaking to the press. I wonder if there's more fear or intimidation going on. Martial law. Could it really have happened? Joining me once again is EuroPAC president and author of an author, Peter Schiff. Peter, let's talk a little bit about martial law. Why would that even be a consideration?
Well, I don't think it was a threat if they had rejected the bailout bill, but I think it is a possibility a few years down the line. We just spoke a little bit about price controls and the effect that they're going to have. If we have shortages of food, if we have rolling blackouts, and people are upset and they're hungry and they're cold, there could be civil unrest. There could be looting, rioting, and that might be the impetus for the government to declare martial law.
You know what? I don't think you're a couple of years away from something like that. I mean, honestly, Peter, I mean, look at what's happening in the half hour, I've got a congressman on about the racism cries. I mean, there are people that are right now so disinterested.
It goes on and on. There's like five more minutes of it up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com if you want to go read the story from Infowars.net that Steve Watson wrote last night about this. Now, remember, for cops and FBI and everybody else, but people especially in the system on the front lines of enforcing all this, I wrote books and made films saying exactly what would happen. I said the government would stage terror attacks and then use that to set up a police state, that the police state was being set up so the public couldn't struggle or resist when we go into receivership. And then exactly what I said is now happening in much more fine detail. Hundreds of hours of broadcast on it. Over and over again, beating the drum. Now, did I just magically pull this out of a hat? No, I gave you all the documents, the quotes, how the rulers of this global corporate state said they would do this. I watched them do it on a lower level in third world countries and second world nations and some first world nations. They're doing it in Iceland right now, Argentina. And so we know exactly how they do this. This is Anglo-imperial rule. This is the Anglo-American establishment. We call them that because that's their name in their internal documents that they give themselves. And this is economic warfare. These are conquerors. That's why they run the planet. They're cold-blooded. They have their PR people with smiling faces tell you all day and info babes looking at you with sexual desire, you know, through the camera, giggling and laughing. And I was watching Fox today and they had some lady from England going, the government says Al-Qaeda is about to strike. Oh, we have to follow our rights. That's why there's even more cameras and security and checkpoints needed. Oh, thank God for the British government. And they cut to the House of Lords. And they're all there to tell you, we're your friends. We're here to help. Now, these are conquerors. They control the left. They control the right. They are literally going to tax the air we breathe in their own words, the carbon tax, regulate every facet of our lives. Take the middle class private property. The poor will be worse off than ever. But the poor are going to be clamoring for this new global socialist system because they believe socialism for the people. They don't understand it was created by the Anglo-American establishment in England 170 years ago. That the British Crown financed Marx and Engels. That they financed the Bolshevik overthrow of their cousins, the Tsars. This is imperial operations. The Imperials are in control because they're slick, they're ruthless, they're smart. They have the top sociologist and psychologist. They have a scientific dictatorship. All these well-meaning mid-level leftists and progressives, like you see in Zeitgeist Addendum, are like, we'll have a wonderful planned society and total freedom and machines empowering everyone and social engineering. It'll be beautiful. We could have a scientific culture. Why don't the governments plan scientifically? They're just a bunch of idiots who can't even wipe their noses. But they can take over nations and overthrow things and engage in perfect propaganda systematically and fool you that they're a bunch of buffoons. They can surveil all the parliaments and the Congress and engage in every crime you can imagine and shoot cruise missiles 30 years ago down chimneys. And they got infrared face scanners that are tracking everybody in real time, but we need social planning. We haven't had any. Oh, we've had total social planning. By its very nature, it centralizes and it's very dangerous and destructive. And by human nature, in a large society with billions of people, we're going to have planning, and we're going to have some government. We've got the other side who believes that there'll be no government. Or they'll say, we'll have social planners and scientists run everything, but there'll be no government. We will have the Earth run on the exact amount of load it can take. Who decides that? The engineers, the social planners, the scientists. And some of them will be wrong. Some of them will be evil. Some of them will have axes to grind and egos. And there will be lies. And there will be tyranny. That's just human nature. But we always have the utopia people fluttering around. Oh, it'll be why don't we have a scientific government? We do. We do. They call it the scientific dictatorship. And they sold their underlings 150 years ago, 100 years ago, 80 years ago, 50 years ago, 20 years ago, a year ago, today, with lots of images of spaceships and escalators and air cars and glistening white buildings. Oh, a utopia! A utopia! Then you see what they build. It's going to be wonderful. The answer is getting individuals active, and we'll be right back to break it down more.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder, narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big John. Big John, Big Bad John.
Big John.
Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. Didn't say much, kind of quiet and shy. But if he spoke at all, he just said hi to Big John. Somebody said he came from New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen, and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land. Big John. Big John. Big John. Big Bad John.
Big John.
Then came the day at the bottom of the mine when the timber cracked and men started crying. Miners were praying and hearts beat fast. Everybody thought that they'd breathe the last, except John. Through the dust and the smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man that the miners knew well. Grabbed a sagging timber, gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree just stood there alone. Big John. Big John. Big John, Big Bad John.
We're here Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Without his strength, he gave a mighty shove. Then a miner yelled out, "There's a light up above." And 20 men scrambled from a would-be grave. Now there's only one left down there to save Big John.
Dow drops below 9,000.
With jacks and timbers, they started back down. Then came that rumble way down on the ground. And the smoke and gas belched out of that mine. Everybody knew it was the end of the line for Big John.
Dow drops below 9,000.
Big John.
Bank skid.
Big
down about 300
John.
Points, 292.31 right now.
Big John.
Let's play the end of this.
Now, they never reopened that worthless pit. They just placed a marble stand in front of it. These few words are written on that stand. At the bottom of this mine lies a big, big man. Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
All right, we're going to start the second hour here in just a few minutes. We're about an hour and 5 minutes away from our little discussion with the creator of Zeitgeist, Peter Joseph, that should be very interesting. I mean, I hardly even talked about it. I said I think it's overall a good film, great monetary information. The other film's great about 9/11. I don't agree with. I'm kind of making fun of people that have any religious beliefs. There's a lot of stuff people don't know in this world, folks. We only pick up a very narrow band of the visible spectrum is very small compared to what science knows is in reality. And a lot of genetic engineers, a lot of physicists who are atheists or agnostics, they get religion once they get into the higher levels of research and they see the craftsmanship. The order to the universe. But it's easy to make fun of Christians, and it's easy to make fun of people. You know, I'm still nice about it. I'm like, well, that's your view. That's okay. Can I say that I don't really agree with you and, that you had to change some stuff in your first edition because it was inaccurate about which God was what and claiming that Christ, was the reincarnation of a sun god or, that they were just repeating older legends. And I got attacked pretty bad. Like I had committed sacrilege. Like I had hurt a religion. And in humanism, atheism is somewhat of a religion. But I say that most of the film, the other 80%, is good. Well, the new one, I just said, when I hear about global government, and when I hear about eradicating classes, you know, that really concerns me. And boy, it caused a big ruckus. So I said, well, we better just have this guy on. I don't know if I'm allowed to ask questions, but, you know, of the Pope.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, Bernanke says the credit crisis is a major threat to the economy. Well, he should know the central banks have shut off liquidity to the entire real economy, not just individuals. And then they threatened the Congress and the Parliament of Europe, the Congress in the U.S. and the Parliaments of Europe, into giving them tens of trillions of dollars, which will then devalue the currencies, and have the central banks be in the only tenable position so they can have a global consolidation. By the way, I'm not the only one saying this. A year and a half ago, there were several big articles by top economists in the Financial Times of London, the true paper of record on the economy. That's what the elite reads. It's thinly veiled in there. Almost all of it is true. Big secret there I'll let you in on. I don't think a lot of people even understand that. It's not a secret. I'm being sarcastic, but most people don't know that. You still can't believe all of it, but it's amazingly accurate in there. Business Week came out 2 days ago, got a big article here, and admitted that the private Federal Reserve small group of banks are actually consolidating power, and that this is their takeover, and this is wonderful for them. I mean, Business Week is telling the truth. So for anybody in the know, this is a fact. This is a fact. This is a fact. And I would say 90% of our guests, all these different financial experts, economists, Nobel Prize winners in economics and others that we've been having on the show over the last few years, they concur this is an engineered operation. This is an engineered operation. Now, there's a variant in that 15, 20% that disagree with us. Most of them, like Bob Chapman, believe that they planned to implode things. We have their own documents. I mean, he knows that. But that they've lost control. That is even more scary in a way, because there is no telling what they will do if that's really true. Because I know the globalists in their own documents want a slow, gradual enslavement, serfdom, implosion of the middle class, and an indentured servitude population who has to basically be on government welfare or government-funded jobs, where it won't be called welfare for, you know, the old middle class, but, you know, the government will be funding the corporation you work for. It'll just be basically corporate welfare. The government will pay a select group. It'll be an oligopoly, a combine, a cartel, and then you'll work for the cartel. Or you'll work in prisons or surveillance or maintenance of hover drones or cameras or, you know, the expanded SWAT teams that they're just making huge SWAT teams everywhere to steal your kids when you fight back or take your house when you fight back. I mean, just classic tyranny. Classical tyranny. And they want a slow, you know, over the next 5 years is what they were saying 2 years ago. Well, it's definitely not slow now. So you can debate whether they're in control of it or not. The point is they're certainly getting fat off of it. They're certainly getting bigger and badder and stronger. See, they're flush in capital when nobody else has got it. They were already flush in it. Now they're gorging on trillions a month. And they're buying whatever they want. And the media will focus in on some AIG people, you know, in $2,000 a night hotel rooms and caviar, because they know that's something that kind of low-level worker bees can identify with. You know, they can't think of trillions in leveraged debt, you know, per globalist at the top. They can't imagine people worth hundreds of billions in public money. You know, that Forbes 500 list or the 100 richest is nothing, folks, to the true assets. The whole thing about real wealth is hiding it. So they'll talk about, oh, this CEO got $500 million or $20 million, or they had caviar and they have a yacht. They're just managers for the private families that are the dominant and secret shareholders and institutional shareholders and law firm shareholders and company shareholders and foundation shareholders. So while you're going, they don't deserve caviar. The real operations are going on. You got to get outside the box, and get outside that box, and get outside the next box. And study history. It'll give you a lens to the future. Straight to your calls on the other side. Dow drops below 9,000. Banks skid.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., 4 hours. We're live, and then back for an abbreviated Sunday edition, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time on the AM and FM dial, Global Shortwave Internet Satellite. Number one radio talk show every day of the week at Shoutcast. Number one talk radio show, rated about number 18 of all radio on the internet, most of that being music. It's an example of how the truth is getting out there, and that's only one small leg on the InfoWars family table. This table's got about 20 legs, and we're growing new ones all the time. Diversify, expand into more media outlets. That is the key, and that's what I advise other burgeoning talk show hosts, radio people, filmmakers to do, and that is what they're doing, and it's beautiful. And whether you have 20 internet listeners or 500,000 every day, doesn't matter. You are reaching out, and every person you wake up is wonderful. I was sent an audio clip the other day and an article along with it. Somebody saying, Alex Jones is saying that individual listeners don't matter and people doing their own blogs and their own websites and their own audio feeds is worthless, and that they're nothing to him. And I want those people to know something. That is not what I'm saying. And if you misunderstood, let me explain it. I'm not talking about, it's incredible. I can talk about Hal Turner bad, and people think I'm talking about them. Or I can talk about some other group or individual, and then everything I say, just in generalities about some group or some unsavory person, is then attributed. Everyone takes that to themselves and attributes themselves. A month ago or so, when I was ranting and raving about crazy people with little radio networks and radio shows thinking I'm in their business, the whole point was I was saying, I'm not in your business. I don't care about you. Not in the sense of I don't want you to be run over by a truck in the street, or not in the sense of what you're doing isn't important, but in the sense of you have attacked me and lied. And people are asking what I'm talking about. It's inside baseball. It doesn't matter. The only reason it matters is because I know some of these people. And I did nothing but help these people, and it makes me mad when they make stuff up about me. And then I say, hey, I don't care about you, in the sense of I'm not in competition with you. I'm not threatened by you, and I'm trying to get more people activated, more people taking action, more people involved. And it irritates me to always have people inventing stuff. I mean, I'm a Scientologist. I'm a Catholic assassin. I'm a Zionist agent. I am hijacking and taking over this radio network or that. It's all made up crap. To the point of I have to fire people that work for me just because they're somewhat involved with these groups, so I can say, out of my life, out, 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 I want nothing to do with you, because, and this happens to anybody that gets famous, and I don't like it, I don't enjoy it, I don't like having a target on my back. I like knowing that I've become very well known worldwide to anybody who's politically active, even mainline politics, because it means I'm having a big effect. But I don't like the fact that people invent almost schizophrenic lies about things I'm involved with and things I do. I don't like that. And I don't like people coming over to my office and doing stuff to our cars. And I have to be quiet about it, because if I talk about them, it'll make the Patriot movement look bad. I mean, that's the kind of crap I go through from some of these local people who are completely out to get me because they bought into Kool-Aid drinking and then the delusions and the lies and the craziness and the things I know. It's just, it's horrible just how fallen society is. And because I have to wall myself off for my own protection and say, look, I don't want to be any touching you in any way. I don't want to be, because I can't allow to be grounded you know, like an electrical field, connected to any of these people. A lot of folks in the, quote, awakening movement period, because any connection I have to them can then be misrepresented. They can say they're me. They can do things in my name. That's how it all starts. Then they can lie about you for the political capital it gets them to say, hey, I'm in a shootout with Alex Jones. And then they hate being ostracized, so they just go into rages. They go crazy, and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy as they get ostracized. So that's the bottom line. I am not. Let me tell you whose life I'm involved with. Mine. I'm like everybody else. You know, I got to go out and buy manila folders for the office and light bulbs, and I screw light bulbs in, and I carry the trash out. And the air conditioner freezes up for 3 days, you know, and we're in here sweating, and we call an air conditioner place just like everybody else does. And, you know, I put a dress shirt on, and I forget to put my belt on. And, you know, I walk out my front door and it's raining, and I fall on my butt. I mean, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, when I go to the bathroom, it stinks. I mean, I hate to have to even go further there. I mean, you know, I'm not God, and I'm not all powerful, and I'm barely able to keep my websites and my audio streams and make my films and do everything I do. And it's a task to feed my children in the morning and, you know, give them showers, baths, put clothes on them, feed them, you know, all of it, and paying taxes and all of it. Because on the internet, with people that love me and people that hate me, I have taken, you know, it's taken on some type of superhuman idea. And the same thing with the government and the elite. People think they're superhuman. No, they're very well organized. They're very cold. They're very sinister. They understand basic human psychology. They are something to behold, but they're not superhuman. They're not invincible. And it's the same thing with Alex Jones. I'm way below those people in organizational skill and focus. And also, I play by the rules and have a big heart, which they see as a weakness. So I'm going to go to your calls, but just going off into a rant here, because I was just thinking about it, reading an email somebody sent me. It is sad for me to have to ostracize people out of my life. You know, there might be a website I'm linking to routinely, promoting, building up, because they have good material, but then they go on a wild jag lying about me and saying horrible things I've done to them. And my mother calls up and saying, is this true? Did you do this and that? And it's the first I learn of the crimes I've committed. And I say, no, Mommy, I didn't. I'm sorry you heard that on the radio. No, I didn't know I'd committed these crimes. Then you have to ostracize those people. And they're not looking at their actions, how they're being ostracized. It's all because of you. See, that's self-fulfilling. They come up, smack you in the face, lie about you, attack you, do horrible things to you. I mean, I had one guy call up and say, look, I'm going to basically say a bunch of horrible stuff about you if you don't do what I say. And I said, that's blackmail. Go to hell, basically. You know, and it's like, I then, for the betterment of the movement, don't go on air and talk about all the incredible behind-the-scenes things because I have no enjoyment destroying someone, because we destroy ourselves in the process. I don't know why I'm even talking about it. The point is that it is painful to know I'm genuine, to know I'm for real, to know I am salt of the earth. You know, got my problems, but I'm a good guy, and I care about people. And I'm here to build others up and empower others. And it's just sad. And I've seen it a million times, and these people come and go. You know, we've seen it with so many other people. Hundreds and hundreds of talk show hosts and webmasters and people. And, you know, their website's getting big. They're reaching out. And then suddenly they start attacking everybody. And first they get a big response from attacking. And they think, oh, this is the way to go. This is really getting me a lot of attention. But that's negative, and it's destroying them. And then they fall off the face of the earth. So I'm done talking about that. I want to talk about the economy in detail here. Gold's up about $20 in the last 2 days. It's up about $9 today so far. And it's finally hitting mainstream news. And alternative media is going, wait a minute. Gold everywhere selling for about $950 an ounce. Silver, $16 to $20. You can find it for $16 if you find it from private people selling it, if you look hard. But on average, people are paying about $20 an ounce for, you know, silver dollars. That's a low price. They're like $30, $40 on eBay. And they're going, wait a minute, silver's $11 an ounce, or to be technical, $10.80 or something. How is that? But then I got to pay $20 for it. Well, wait a minute, gold is $8.50, but I've got to pay $1,000 for it. Or I call the place and they don't have any gold. And so finally, what Gatta and others sued to expose is coming out. The paper market is one thing. That's all that is a paper market in gold, says it's $8.50. The real world says it's $1,000, and the mints are sold out in the U.S., Canada, Germany, Russia, selling out in England, because the mints have to buy what the paper amount says. They say, okay, we need gold. It's $8.50. We need to buy more to make more American Eagles or more Buffaloes or more Maple Leafs or more Krugerrands. South Africa's out. And the mint says to the state, sorry, to the government, we can't sell you gold at $8.50 or $800 or $7.80 like it was a month ago. And so they say, okay, well, we have to follow under federal rules in all these nations. We have to only buy gold at spot to make it into coin. We can't pay premiums, so we're just not going to make coins anymore. See, that's not a free market. That is a engineered, controlled kleptocracy from the top. But look, I said I'm going to go to your calls, and I promise we're going to go to Mike, Aaron, Garrett, Matt, and Ma Justice as soon as we come back from this quick break. I didn't mean to go into a 10-minute rant about other issues. It's just the morbidity in the elite, the morbidity in the culture. I mean, we're an evil culture on average. I mean, we kill 50 million babies in the U.S. We're corrupt. We warehouse our old folks to die with bed sores all over them. We watch millions of simulated murders on TV. And so just because people out there have woken up to the New World Order doesn't mean they've woken up to their own selves. And you know, just like the Don Henley song says, it's an inside job. Everything is. It's an inside job for us to fix ourselves and to be good people and to be honest with ourselves. And if you can't be honest with yourself, you know, that's the first step in any fight for realization and, you know, consciousness. We have an unconscious population. All right, let's go ahead and go to Mike in Florida. Mike, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Alex. I want to touch on a couple of things, four main things here, and I'll be quick. First, I wanted to bring up the Alaskan Independent Party, which Sarah Palin has ties to. Now, I originally saw this on the Rachel Maddow show after Keith Olbermann on MSNBC, and I looked into it, and it turned out to be true. She was a member, not a member of that party, but she definitely supports that party.
Well, I'm not an expert on them, but I think they're a libertarian, pro-Second Amendment, anti-New World Order group.
Right.
I think I've even had them on as a guest a couple times over the last decade plus, and I mean, my view, I'm not an expert on them, is positive.
Right, it's very positive. And let me be clear, everyone out there, I'm not supporting McCain by saying this. I don't like Obama either. I'm not for any of them. But there's video here of Palin supporting them, Alex, and it's on video. And Dexter, let me get the name right here.
Sir, are you there?
Yes. AIP's Vice Chairman Dexter Carter loves Governor Palin. And his whole main point is for them to infiltrate the two-party system, because she was an independent before she became a Republican. I didn't know any of this until I looked it up. He wants them to infiltrate into the Democrats and the Republicans so they can pull off their mission, and that is to secede from the Union because of the New World Order. And that's the big reason, because of the New World Order.
There's also a Canadian secession movement that wants different parts to secede, and they're big listeners in anti-New World Order. You know, it's easy to demonize those groups, too, because somebody can easily find globalist affiliations. That's because the globalists are always going to try to reverse infiltrate those groups. And so you're going to have, you know, people from the top going into the bottom, people from the bottom going into the top. I think Palin is really just an opportunist. And in Alaska, the Alaskan Independence Party, I know, just from memory, has gotten, I want to say, 20%+ of the vote. In some cases, they've elected people to a pretty high office in the state. It's less than 1 million people in the state. So, of course, she had to pander to the patriot groups because they're very strong, probably the strongest of anywhere in Alaska, because it's such a small state. And so that's I really think that's Palin pandering into them.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, the elite's going to put into office who they want.
Right.
We don't have, I mean, we know the electronic voting machines, even if they're central tabulated, are frauds. And I don't have a right to vote in Travis County, and that's been proven, been certified by the state. I caught them. Others caught them, and the state said, oh, we're just allowed to do this. So, you know, that's how it works.
All right, Alex, another thing I wanted to bring up here real quick. Ordered Chinese food the other night, opened a fortune cookie, and this is what came out. It says, do not worry about holding a high position. Worry rather about playing your proper role. What do you think of that, Alex?
That's
more.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Also, the abolish the Federal Reserve Act petition. Go to Google. This is not my petition. It's just on here. Currently, it's 3,040 signatures. Type in abolish the Federal Reserve Act. Try to get as many people on this as possible.
Everybody, all right, I'm going to let you go so I can get more callers in. Thank you, Mike. Eric in California, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. It's been a long time since I talked to you. I would just like to preface this call by saying that I was not screened in any way. The only screening that took place before this call was...
Who cares if people lie and say we screen and all the calls are fake? Let them all lie, man. I don't even care. Look, everything's going to Hades in a handbasket, and people want to make stuff up. Like I said, I've come to peace with it. You can't stop them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I would like to talk about how this financial stuff is affecting me and my family. But I would just like to say that, you know, I have had doubts about you and others in the Patriot movement, and I've looked into it, and, you know, I just keep coming back to, you know, being at peace with you in my heart of hearts, because the way you speak, your passion, what drives you, and how you shun any kind of egomania or whatever just rings true to me, like, you know, hitting a golf ball just right. If anybody's ever hit a golf ball just right, you know how it feels. And it's just a feeling, man. I mean,
talking about hitting the sweet spot.
Exactly. And I mean, just waiting for this to get on air the way you were talking, it just so rings true with me. We just want to reach people because we care about people.
Well, number one, I'm going to hold you over. Somebody who is New World Order isn't going to say we have power, we can affect change, get involved, good things are happening, there are good people. I mean, the New World Order is, it's ridiculous. And also, I've noticed this in, you know, just in life, getting things done. You'll look for an excuse before you go in and clean the garage. You'll find some excuse before you start the job. You'll procrastinate. And so a lot of people hear me put out this information. They know it's true, but they don't want to take action. So it's easier to sit around and kind of nitpick in the kingdom of alternative media and the kingdom of the Patriot movement or the reality movement, the truth movement. And then I'm the king, though I don't want the kingship in the kingdom. And so people are going to talk about me. And it only makes me bigger, actually, but it hurts the movement. Stay there. Eric, I was interrupting. Go ahead and finish you up from California.
Yeah, Alex. I don't want to waste any more time on your detractors and whatnot. Their hearts just aren't truly in it, and enough said on them. You know, the posters who just want to nitpick and
like our guest said yesterday. They're territorializing things, and they just hate me because I'm successful. It is pure envy, and most of it isn't even government. That's what's sad. They know how we act and how we behave, and that holds us back. And the sick thing is, like P.T. Barnum said, just get my name right, spell my name right. You know, that only makes this show and what we do bigger. People say, oh, I want to check into this. But the sad thing overall is a societal movement. It's a negative thing. Like next hour when I have the Zeitgeist guy on, I'm going to try to not fight with him. I'm going to try to not argue with him. I'm going to try to talk about the good ideas they have from my perspective. And I'm doing this to, in a way, try to educate them from my perspective, and maybe they can educate me. But go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And one thing that you could ask him, which is something I would like to ask a lot of truthers, is if they don't believe in higher power or God or Christ, like you and I believe, where do they put their faith and hope in?
Well, that's the thing. They say we're going to make moral judgments and we're going to decide. But then the majority of the scientific community says, well, we have no soul, so we're animals, so we have no value. But then the earth has all this value. But that's just so other men can take other resources from other people, claiming it's for redistribution or for the earth. I mean, I just know all the arguments. I know how they work.
Yeah, it's pretty pitiful. You know, Alex, my wife grew up during martial law in Pinochet's Chile. My sister-in-law, who's a doctor, barely escaped Chile with her life. And the parallels that she sees now haunt her. I would actually like to have her on your show and kind of talk about her experiences. I thought about that when you had a news clipping of a documentary coming out about Chile and the coup.
Which was launched on 9/11.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, because I've kind of redirected my focus towards people who I think will put up some kind of a fight, redirecting my efforts towards police and military people, and exposing the fact that their pensions, which they, you know, do all these nasty things to our Constitution and fellow citizens, you know, for the excuse of, you know, well, I got a pension, I got a mortgage and whatnot. And you just blast that away. You just ruin the government's credibility, and you can kind of break through to people because...
Well, that's it. Folks need to realize that the system will destroy their future, not, yeah, the system's bad, but I've got to go along with it because if it falls, I've got nothing. No, the system is predatory, and it's going to make all of our lives progressively worse if we don't wrest control away from the global eugenicist.
I know. I mean, you have put out so much information over the years. Enough information, you know, to cover all of this. And if people don't get it, for the most part, they'll never get it. So we got to redirect our focus on those who somewhat get it and are just waiting for, you know, that right spot.
I hear you, Garrett. Send your wife's info and story to Trey@Infowars.com. We might have her on. In fact, I've thought about having people on from Russia and China and people who've been through tyranny, because I talked to a lot of them, and a lot of them are leaving the U.S., and they're saying, man, I've seen this before. But then they say, I know one German lady who lived there for like 30 years, and she just went back to Germany, and she said, it's back there now. So now she's come back here. I mean, it's just everywhere. Let's talk to Garrett in Mississippi. You're on the air, Garrett.
Good afternoon, Alex. How you doing?
Good, sir.
It's good to hear from you. I just wanted to say that I would appreciate it. If you got some folks on, Jim Ross comes to mind, on the next few weeks or days to let people know what they need to be doing to get ready. I've had people laugh at me. I've been working at this company for about 3 years I've been working at, and they laughed at me and started, you know, when I started telling them about these things. Now they're coming to my office and shutting the door and asking what they need to do. And
it's not just the news they're seeing in their gut.
Yeah.
In their spirit, which people laugh at us, but it's real. The sixth sense has been proven. Something there, folks. People know in their gut bad stuff is here and more is on the way.
Well, I recently had I got an 8-month-old now, and, you know, it's really changed perspective of life. And I live for him now, and I want him to have a future. And what I've told people a long time, you know, for the past 6 months is, you know, there's plenty of chiefs in the Patriot movement. We just need more Indians. And it breaks my heart to know that everything I've been taught, you know, I've been listening to you for about 10 years, and that everything I was taught as a child about the American dream is just bull malarkey. It's to keep you in the system. And I want people to wake up out there and to continue preparing. And if you aren't prepared, you need to be. And
well, the first step in the battle is people realizing there's a problem. And you said people now, because you planted the seeds, because you were willing to get laughed at up there being pillory with everybody spitting and yelling and throwing psychological tomatoes at you and cabbages, because millions of people like you, Garrett, were willing for years to plant the seeds. Now the people are listening. And so how do we get prepared? It is a awakening or, quote, political solution, but outside the classic political paradigm, we need to expose, okay, they're going to progressively make things so bad economically there's going to be riots. They're going to stand down and let the riots spread. They're going to allow atrocities to be committed against police. Then they're going to crack down on everybody. We have to further educate now about what's coming. And then when that comes, a few more steps of people seeing we're right, then we will absolutely have them awaken. You know, and then we can really turn things around. We have to go through the pain historically before people finally wake up. If you don't warn people beforehand, you go through the corruption and then it wins and solidifies control. But if you expose it beforehand and then during, and a lot of us will be punished and imprisoned and tortured and killed for this testament, for this message. But because people hurt us before, during, and then after, we will be able to then wrest control of the New World Order off the levers of global control. And then have a revolution that ends in something good instead of something worse. And so there's no really stopping or turning around where this freight train is going. We can just strap in and get ready. I mean, physically, it's good to not live in a major city. Physically, if things completely break down, it's good to have family in another state who is willing to have you, if things completely break down, come stay with them. But you should have a year of food. You should have firearms. You should have, you know, something like gold and silver if you can afford it. But a lot of people are living right at subsistence level, so they can't. And so, you know, what do you tell them? I'm sorry, this globalist economy was about destroying the family, making both people work two jobs, getting the children in the control of the state. And we're getting into such a martial law situation that as things break down, if people wait until it's too late to leave and get to a safe place, but then they leave early and then go there and people laugh at them. But if they wait till it's too late and try to go 100, 200, 300, 1,000 miles to their place of refuge, then you're going to get stopped at checkpoints on the road. They're going to be taking your guns. They're going to be commandeering food. And then there's people, the government isn't going to have to stage attacks on police and military. A lot of families are going to see the cops start reaching for their kids, and they're going to be dead cops all over the highway. And the New World Order plans that. They plan on cornering a grizzly bear that is the American people, and they plan on sending in these foot-tall, you know, figuratively, little cops who have no preparation, no idea. They're going to be torn to pieces. Then they're just going to lock things down in zones, let people starve to death en masse, and then later roll in with international forces. Now that is a distinct possibility. But we're definitely going to have a depression. It's definitely going to get bad, and it's probably going to unfold into that. But, I mean, there's a lot of people. I'm not calling for violence. I'm not shooting my mouth off, thumping my chest, going, I'll blast, I'll shoot, I'm tough, I'm looking for a fight. No, I'm looking to get around the fight with the police at the globalist plan. I'm looking to not give them the war they want. But I know this, my kids aren't going to a FEMA camp, and over my dead body will it happen. And once you start taking the gloves off, folks, with real people that don't shoot their mouths off, it's going to get serious. That's a guarantee. So that's as much as I can say, Garrett. Anything else?
No, you hit the nail on the head, bud. You got great sponsors out there that's got storage food. Now is the time about beans, bullets, and Band-Aids, your Bible and your bullion, the five B's that's going to get you through this. And, I mean, I just appreciate you, Alex. I hadn't spoke to you in a while, but like I said, people need to do their research. They need to get their plans together now, not tomorrow, today. And I appreciate you taking my call.
Absolutely. And that message about today, I am just now trying to get myself prepared. I mean, I've been prepared with water filters, food, things like that for a long time, but I'm, you know, really gearing up. I mean, we're doing things like, you know, got an old plate out, lightning struck, broken well. Well, you pay the money to have that sucker re-drilled. You know, don't, I've only got 2 years of storable food. Well, you know what? I got two more for everybody in my family. But I know a lot of people can't even do that because they bought a lot of plasma screen TVs and things they didn't need, and a lot of people couldn't even afford that. Here's an example. We're buying some big plasma screen TVs for the new TV studio and for the radio studio with a big one behind me so we can put images up on it. And a few months ago, I just could not bring myself to spend $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 for a big 60-something-inch screen TV that I needed for the studio. I just said, we just won't have one in the studio. Even though it'll look good, I just not going to spend that money on it. I'm going to try to save that money. I'm somewhat frugal. And then we went and looked again, and guess how much they've dropped in about 4 or 5 months? A $6,000 TV, the same model, is $1,300. Folks, that's another example of the economy is just at a standstill. It is at a standstill. It is just plowing down to a halt. and God help us. Okay, let's go to Matt in the UK. Matt, you're on the air.
For letting me on the show.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, mate. Yeah. So to mention, first of all, is I've been trying to listen to your show on the shoutcast streams in the UK, and it's you can't even hear you. It's like just keeps repeating. It looks like the UK government is definitely censoring InfoWars.
What are you saying today? Streams. It's repeating.
Yeah, it's repeating. It's like you'll have the James Bond theme going on, obviously, on the ad bit, and it just keeps repeating itself.
Yeah, well, I've told my IT people about this, and everybody's calling the network and everybody everywhere else. It's going on all the time. We have different servers around the world, and we need to assess the problem, and we need to fix it. How often do you hear that happening?
Quite a few times. Like I said, today, obviously, logged into the show, obviously, on the internet.
No, that is not the government of the UK. That is us.
Right.
We're having major server problems. I don't even know. I mean, thank God we're on AM and FM shortwave satellite, because for all intents and purposes, yeah, our internet is really breaking down.
Right. The other question I want to mention is obviously about the martial law situation. Now, you know, obviously with this EU Irish vote, obviously they're going to re-vote on that. Now, do you reckon that the new world order school bring in martial law if they refuse again?
Well, sir, we're already in a degree of martial law. We're already at a level. When they threaten Congress with do what we say or you're going to go into martial law, that is martial law. When the bankers have governmental power and can do whatever they want, that's financial dictatorship, and the mainstream news is calling it that.
Right. Do you also believe on the martial law that they've got, like, spy satellites that are watching the public?
Explain what you're saying to me, sir.
Do you agree, like, obviously, we are under this martial law system, obviously, in the UK, and obviously, you guys in the US. Do you believe that the military are using, like, spy satellites to spy on the general public?
They admit that. I remember 8 years ago in Australia, they would arrest farmers and ranchers under environmental laws. You're not allowed anywhere in Australia to build a shack, a barn, anything. Bureaucrats come and harass you, boss you around, tax you to do it. The farms can barely stay open because of the economy. I mean, here's an example. Cattle prices have dropped by about 40% in the last year, but hamburger and beef prices are at record highs. It's because now the packers were taken over by two central groups. It's all about monopolies. It's all about manipulating markets. And now they've announced that local police, through Homeland Security, being federalized in their cars in the UK, England, Europe, the United States, everywhere. We are going to be tracked by satellite in real time, being watched by the defense satellites, and they're going to use it for environmental reasons, law enforcement. The entire NORTHCOM apparatus is against the people.
Also, another one, you might laugh at this one. I was looking back on your old streams of the Rothschild interview. I was wondering, are you ever going to get that guy on again?
We have tried since then, and they've refused. You know, how this works for other talk shows that don't know how to get guests and then think it's a conspiracy that we're able to get big guests. What you do is, I mean, I know little bitty blogs that get better guests than we do because they have, you know, the person acts as a good producer themselves. All you got to do is when they have a book out, their PR people want them to do interviews. He put out a children's brainwashing book about how polar bears can't swim and that, yeah, of course, they're the best swimmers of any land mammal, swim 300 miles, 150 miles routinely, and then they hunt on ice floes for beluga and seals and other things. So he wrote a book about, you know, basically about global government and how wonderful it is. So we called up and we had him on. And that's how they do it. That's how we get them on. And it did turn out off air, he did know who I was, just like Chuck Norris. We called and wanted to have him on through his book people, and they said no, but then we emailed Chuck Norris himself, and he goes, oh, yeah, I'm a fan of the show, I want to come on. So, you know, it's all about just trying to get these big guests on. But no, since we spanked him royally, he's refused, and I won't be immoral. You know, I will call up, and we tell him who we are and ask him to come on. We could lie and get Lord Rothschild back on.
I just want to say also, it's amazing that, like you mentioned about these top stars that are listening to the show now, like Bruce Willis and people like that. You know, it's amazing that these people are waking up to, you know, realizing what's actually going on, you know, the way this new world order, you know, is happening now.
Yeah, I got a very exciting letter and phone number sent to me last week by a huge Hollywood icon. And you know what? I'm so busy, I haven't even called the number yet. And then I had the producer, the manager for a huge music star, who I will say is involved in Farm Aid. And you know what? I wrote the number down, and then I forgot to call him. So, I mean, and I'm not bragging. It's that I'm not even really that much into that, but these stars are important because it shows how this alternative information is going mainstream. But it won't be able to go mainstream if we can't keep our internet streams up. But again, that's a small part of what we do, but a growing part. And I'm just getting constant calls. How much do you hear the James Bond music? I mean, how long will it run?
Quite a few times. And also, another thing it'll do is, it'll, you know, when you're speaking on live, it'll jump. It'll jump, then it'll repeat back the James Bond theme again.
But, I mean, how long will it play when the James Bond music does play?
Oh, God, it just keeps doing it and doing it and doing it.
Yeah, for 10, 20 minutes?
About 10, 20 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, well, we need to get past the denial here and get that fixed and get that taken care of.
Is there any chance you're going to come to the UK, or...?
You know, I'm so hunkered down just doing radio interviews, TV, making films, writing a book. I'm like a hermit I don't know. I would love to do a world tour. You know, we could pack places in Japan and Germany and Russia and all over. I'd love to come to the UK. I know we get thousands out to each event, and I would love it, you know, see the world, but I have to sacrifice and not do it.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, coming up, I'm going to have my discussion with the creator of Zeitgeist. I want to bring Ted Anderson up. We continue with your phone calls. Ted, it is really becoming evident to the public the gold market is completely suppressed. I mean, that's been documented in court and been well-known and been admitted, but now it's mainstream news that the price of gold in the paper markets is not the real price. But, I mean, what are the mints going to do? Because they're not allowed under their federal rules to buy gold at above anything above spot, but none of the international dealers or mines will sell it for that because of the real market. It looks like this gold shortage and silver shortage is intensifying. What are they going to do when gold's going for $1,500 an ounce, not $1,000 an ounce like it is now, you know, $500, $600 above what the paper market says? I mean, this looks like the illusion is about to die.
Yeah, it sure is, Alex. I can tell you right now, every time you turn around, there's manipulation. Just right now, the G7, again, meeting, trying to shore up the World Bank, turn it into more what you describe as New World Order-type banking system, getting away from the free market economy-type model that it's in right now. The whole thing's folding in, and they're trying to catch as much as they can. I hope they fail. I hope Chapman's right up there. I hope that all blows apart on them, and we it all fails. Finally, we get back to something that's real. But yeah, there's so much manipulation going on in the paper market, pushing down the value of gold and silver prices because some bank decides, hey, we need to sell this in order to bring it down in price. We need to prop up the dollar, and we need to inject money into the stock market and do all this manipulation. There's no free market left here. And obviously, they can't keep the gold and silver prices low, and the physical supply is drying up. It's gone. Just like you said, people are waking up.
And by the way, they're only selectively injecting it into select banks, as Business Week today admits that it is an inside job. I can't believe it's mainstream news. I've seen other publications as well, and they're admitting that a small group of inner private banks are profiting from this. This is good for them.
Oh, I tell you, Alex, it's really something else. I hope they just lose their shirts. Every time they try to sell gold short into the marketplace and that thing goes up, they lose. They get margin calls. I hope they lose all of their wealth. It is. It's one big, bad, manipulated scheme that, you know, it, really, they should be arrested. If anybody individually tried to do this stuff, they would be arrested. I mean, they'd be charged with collusion
fixing. Take beef. I mean, it's down by about 40% in the last 10 months. Okay, that's the official number, about 38-40% for people actually selling their cattle. But meanwhile, there's a 40% increase in almost every beef product, including hamburger. So, see, it's just all scams. Everything is scams. And I could go into 2 hours about how two meatpacking groups took control from over 20 in the last decade and how they're running that scam. That's a fact. I mean, it's amazing.
It's completely, it's incredible what they're doing. I mean, it's sad, but it's incredible. It's incredible that we'd have a $700 billion bailout and all the money's being dished over to these people in Wall Street to give them more ammunition. Make as many bad investments as you need to because the government will take them. That's just absolutely crazy.
Well, because they sell the bad investment. They make the bad investment, which is toxic, and then they sell it to the idiot public. And then they blame the idiot public for it, which I guess in a way is at fault. I want to hold you over a few minutes before this discussion we're having with this big guest. But, Ted, real fast, give people the gold offer for the day.
Well, I tell you what I ran into today, Alex, that's just almost impossible to get right now, are silver eagles. I've got silver eagles right now, and they're at $17.58 a piece. Silver eagles. I haven't been able to get those in, I don't know, maybe 2-3 months.
And those are going for $25 a piece or more on eBay, and a lot of stores are independents, and I don't blame them. They got overhead. A lot of shops are selling it for $20-$25. You've got them for $17 and change. These are the full-size silver dollars, 800-686-2237. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Wednesday. Time just flies by. We're already into the third hour. Coming up in about 5 minutes, we're going to have Peter Joseph, the creator of Zeitgeist, on for an hour and 50-minute discussion. Right now, let's go back to Ted Anderson. So Ted, tell me, as a 30-year gold and silver broker, one of the most trusted in the nation, how hard it is. Because, again, most gold brokers, major mints, are saying they're out of gold, they're out of silver, no one can get silver dollars. How hard is it for you to get high-quality gold at reasonable prices in silver?
Like I said, I mean, I just brought up silver eagles, Alex. I haven't been able to get those in at least a couple of months. The U.S. Mint stopped minting them, what, about June, I think it was, or July, right around in there?
How many of those gorgeous silver dollars do you have?
Small supply. It's about 300 is all I have. And maybe I can go to 1,000, you know. So if you want them, call in for them and get them, because they'll be gone real fast.
800-686-2237, 800-686-2237, or minusresources.com. Ted, gold, what do you have? Because I always beg you to get super good specials for my listeners.
Yeah.
What do you have in gold?
Well, again, we have gold up today. I'm still holding the price on those francs, and they're currently right now at 190. I have the British Sovereign, and they're available currently right now as well at a price of 234. Both of those prices have been held back, even though gold is going up. The thing about it is right now, you know, if you want the $10 Liberties and $10 Indians, I have those. That $10 Indian is just a gorgeous coin. And that $10 Indian presently right now is trading at a price of, hang on a second, I just got to look it up here real quick. $10 Indians right now are at $673. If you didn't mention the Alex Jones show that you're picking these up from, you'd pay $100 more a coin for either the $10 Liberty or the $10 Indian.
Let's explain, Ted. Even though you have all the connections, you're fighting just to get gold and silver when most people can't. And so you're paying more for these now, but you're paying less than others. You're passing that savings on. You locked this price in 3 days ago. Gold's gone up about $30 since then. So that savings is also put into there.
Yeah, that is. That's true. And right now we have pandemonium. Like you said, the yuppies are waking up and they're starting to buy gold and silver, and there's just not enough supply to go.
And it's already run out with them just trying to buy it for the last 2 weeks. I mean, being in this market 30 years, Ted, 30 years this year in a few months, your third anniversary in this, I mean, if it's already basically run out now, what's going to happen as they pile on?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, what's going to happen is that there's not going to be supply. I mean, they're going to be going around, and you can buy little bits here and little bits there, and that's all you're going to do.
That's all there is individuals cashing in.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's little individuals cashing in, and I've got some suppliers that have 1,000 of this and 200 of that and 500 of those. I mean, used to be that I'd get whatever I wanted. All I had to do is just call up an order and just wait for it to come in. It doesn't work that way anymore. There just isn't enough around. I mean, it's really a lot of hard work to find supply. Finding people that want to buy it, piece of cake. Everybody wants it.
That's right.
Right.
Used to, I could call you anytime I wanted to. Now I call and, you know, he can't talk. He's on the phone with international brokers. And again, most people can't even call those brokers now and get gold because, you know, even if a company's been around 5-10 years, You know, they go with whoever they've been with the longest, and you've been out there a long time, so you're able to do stuff other people can't. Take advantage of this while you still can, ladies and gentlemen. 1-800-686-2237. I know you're working on Coronas. You get any Coronas?
I have 100 of those out there, and I'm just going to secure the position. I'll mention them next time I come on the air. I just don't want to have them until I know I've got them here in house and ready to go. So,
all right. So you've got sovereigns, European francs. Those are Swiss and French, and Austrian. And you've got francs. You've got British sovereigns. You've got the gorgeous Indians. The best deal out of them all is still the franc, isn't it?
Yeah, the franc is the better of the whole bunch as far as the gold is concerned, because you get that little tiny piece of gold. Plus, also, if you try to buy a U.S. Eagle, you're going to pay almost $100 more than you would for the
franc.
That's
right. And by the way, you've got Eagles. If folks want them, they're just a giant premium because you're paying that.
Yeah, I can't help it. The Eagles have gone up so much in price. These silver Eagles, that's a...
Yeah, Ted's offering you what is the best deal? 800-686-2237. As this market manipulation continues, Ted, keep popping in with us.
I sure will.
Thank you.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
A program note for everyone out there. We are number one on Shoutcast for any talk show. About 18 or 19 rated total for Shoutcast. Hundreds of thousands of people every hour tune in to listen over the internet just on that system. We have over 100,000 people a day downloading the free podcast at InfoWars.com. That's recorded here in-house. So if there's any blurps or internet outages that happen occasionally as we get more and more traffic and beef up our system, you will not hear those problems generally in the podcast. So subscribe to that to listen how you want, when you want, where you want. Now, obviously, with over 60 AM and FM affiliates, and we've just gotten three or four more in the last week, so it's actually growing. I need to revise the list. Probably over 70 stations now. That's where the lion's share of the audience is. You could have hundreds of thousands per station. With a station like News Radio 590 KLBJ or 1330 that covers half of Texas that's up in Taylor, or a KCAA that goes into San Diego and places there in California, or a KCXL. We've been on about 9 years in Kansas City covering that entire city and surrounding areas out of Liberty, Missouri. But the shortwave is great as well as a world service we do for everybody. We have satellite systems people can listen over. Several different satellite systems. It's all very important, but the internet is special because it puts us everywhere. You know, you can tell your friends, your family, your neighbors, even if you don't have a local AM or FM affiliate, or even if they don't, hey, you can listen at InfoWars.com, or you can listen at PrisonPlanet.com. And that's what's so great about the web. It is basically everywhere in the industrialized world, and now even in the third world and old world. And so that's why it's so important. And yes, we've had hundreds of calls about, you know, whenever our connection to our big servers goes down, James Bond music will play for 5-10 minutes. That is our servers going down. The problem is, too, if we don't have it on these server farms and CDNs, when it goes down, then that basically knocks out our Shoutcast rating, and we like being number one on there because we get new listeners that way. But we're just going to have to give up our ranking because the number one thing is getting the message out and split the streams up into dozens of streams, not just five or six big streams. Also, there's other ways to listen. We have tens of thousands every show that listen on the Windows stream that comes out of another server system, and people are now using that a lot. And, of course, that's an unrated stream. That's an internal stream. But you can go to InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and click on the Flash Player window to listen that way. If you hear outages on the Genesis streams, because those get maxed out, or on the InfoWars streams, we have that window stream there for you as well. Because the internet is so important, because it's a key place that we virally spread the message, then YouTube videos, live leak videos. People make hundreds of videos with audio from the show. You cut it up. You condense it down. All of you out there doing a great job. So please keep that up. Okay. Without further ado, I'm really excited to get to introduce to you Peter Joseph. Peter Joseph, of course, made Zeitgeist, which I would say is the second most viewed video just from my analysis in internet history. I would still say that Loose Change is number one, but that's because it's been out longer. In the future, it remains to be seen, but the two films definitely are the most viewed in viral history on the internet. And the maker Peter Joseph has now made a Zeitgeist addendum, another two-hour film, very well done. He works in professional TV, and he did this on his own, though. It's excellent, and he went out and actually did a lot of interviews and things for it as well, not just internet clips that he combined for the first Zeitgeist. And I agree with about 90% of what is in the film. I think that the interpretation, the subtle way it's put out, people are going to misinterpret a lot of it. That was my point criticizing some of it earlier in the week. I also think that it's another form of orthodoxy to make fun on a high horse of religious groups and you know, people who are religious because, you know, the human mind, human sight and smell only picks up a very narrow spectrum of reality. That's been scientifically proven. Is there a lot of quackery and superstition and kooky stuff going on out there? Certainly. And that's why I get away from, you know, organized religion myself. But I think that in a way it actually divides people to, that both films have decided attacks on religion, especially Christianity. And I'm allowed to have that, you know, view and say that I don't particularly agree with that. I don't hate Peter Joseph because of his views. I don't look down on him. I don't even judge him. I just am allowed to have my view I think that that is itself a little bit close-minded. That doesn't mean that I buy into every superstition out there. And conversely, people like to start fights between any, you know, big alternative media movement icons or films. You know, I have a lot of Zeitgeist people that attack me and say horrible things about me, and they're not Zeitgeist people, but people that are followers of the film or use the name as a maxim or a logo, kind of like the shingle they or the flag they fly. And then a lot of folks who call themselves Alex Jones listeners who viciously attack Zeitgeist because of its anti-Christian bent. And then that's probably why the Zeitgeist folks are attacking me, and then my people are attacking them more. And then it's and then that kind of creates with myself a subconscious disliking for it, because then I get attacked by a lot of extreme close-minded Christians and Muslims and religionists out there who get mad that my footage is in Zeitgeist. Well, I mean, he put it in there first, and later he said, hey, can I use it? And I said, fine. And he has the rights to use the footage that he has in the first Zeitgeist now, because I'm actually for open discussion and things being out there, and a lot of people found my work because of Zeitgeist. So, you know, I believe that we can take good out of even things that I see as not effective or true in Zeitgeist itself. So with that said, as my opening statement, I want to bring Peter Joseph up on the air and let him have an opening statement about himself, Zeitgeist, and where all of this is going. Peter, great to have you here.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate you having me on. And I'm glad you pointed out what you did. I think a lot of people listening to this cast are going to, you know, sit there waiting for some type of duke out between you and I. And debate is really an infantile disposition. I think discussion and open discussion is what we need to engage in. We learn from each other, and that's what a society should really be thinking when we engage ideas that are conflicting from one belief system to another. You know, competition, things like this that we think are naturally bred into us, dispositions of winning. These are things I would like to address today. I know you have different dispositions, as you stated, in, for example, in your October 8th broadcast. And before I begin any of that, however, since you did bring up Christianity, first thing, I'm not attacking Christians whatsoever. I think anybody who pays attention to what I've stated, as far as the first film, I go into the historical bases of Christianity, and then I linger into the philosophical dispositions and how it's very restrictive of the human mind. In the second film, I detail how essentially the belief system itself is based on a rejection of new information. And this is very important and very difficult to deny when you get into faith-based ideologies. And the whole encompassment, if that's a word, of the second film is to really try to pull people into a train of thought that's aligned with nature. And that's why I present the Venus Project, and that's why I present these seemingly spooky things that people have been conditioned to fear, such as centralization of power, but it's not centralization of power in the orthodox manner that many people think to be true or fearful of, or what history has presented. Because the flaw of our society at its very core is that it has not addressed the root problems of what we're doing. And those root problems are sourced in human behavior, not secret societies or elites or even human instinct. We have to look at the environment and what the environment is producing. And then from there, we'll know the resolutions. And that's what I'd like to talk about today with you.
Well, Peter, out of the gates, global warming has become a religion. The environment is important. The load of the earth is important. But technologies, as you and the experts you interview have rightly assessed, we can transcend all those problems. And that is being suppressed by the elites who want to
continue a cartel or an oligopoly. But, you know, you talk about the load of the earth and, you know, running things according to the load of the earth. Well, the controllers, they're already using that and saying we are going to, as a technocracy, as a scientific system, we are going to scientifically design society, and we're saying carbon dioxide's bad when that's what plants breathe, and one of the four major elements, light, water, carbon dioxide, and oxygen, that make life possible here. So, see, out of the gates, there's that oversimplification. I think it's important to have the discussion. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it can be interpreted that's a religion, too. I mean, there is a religious belief that carbon dioxide is bad and evil and a toxic waste.
Yeah, there's also a religious belief that the free market system is the end-all to our progress as a civilization. They're all religious beliefs in their own accord. If they're not addressed in a highly intellectual and scrutinizing manner, the best form of reference for that type of disposition or analysis, if you will, is what you refer to as the scientific method. Everything that we have, well, first of all, let me counter one thing. Essentially, what you're seeing with this ruling elite that you refer to, that, of course, they will use technology against humanity, the microchip, surveillance. We're seeing this rampantly. Why? Because their social system is failing. They have to preserve the structure. At least that's my opinion, and we can go into more detail for that. However, they are totally out of line with nature. So what they're implying will never really work, because it will just produce more instability. The people will eventually rise up above it, because the system is emergent, and we are always learning new things, and things that do not work as the emergence proceeds will be phased out. And this is where social stratification and all of these different elements come into play. You see, I'm not talking about, for example, on your October 8th interview, excuse me, your review of the piece, you implied to your audience that there would be this eradication of the social structure. Remember when you said that? As though that someone's going to come around with a gun and shoot people that are involved in the wrong type of social stratification. That is not at all what this idea is about whatsoever. The eradication notion comes from the disposition that human awareness, human value systems will be altered as the society is culminated in more alignment with nature itself. Now, that's a very difficult thing.
Yeah, well, how do you gauge the alignment with nature and what scientist or group is going to be able to develop the gauge by which you set up that system?
Well, you can look at it from, here's a very oversimplified example, but it gets the point across very easily. If you have a plot of land and you want to do something with that land, say grow something on it, build something on it, you're going to analyze the topsoil of it. The parameters of that land become self-evident as to what you can do on it. Now, when you apply this to the planet, you begin to see that the resources that the society needs, which can be assessed through surveying what is necessary for the society, has a natural development and can occur naturally without opinion whatsoever, because you're basing it on tangible resource management of the planet. That's why in the film, I keep going back to the same point.
Stay there. We're going to skip this break right now. Here we go. Okay, continue, Peter.
It's the intelligent management of the Earth's resources that's needed. Now, people don't understand what that means. They don't know what that means because they've been so conditioned into this completely artificial structure of money and labor for money, competition for labor, and money for resources. This is a completely fictional disposition. It's a false system because there's nothing but resources. And the ideology that will construct our new world, so to speak, is an ideology based on resource management as denoted through the scientific method. So that plot of land has the resources available. The only way you can have unification, intellectual unification, excuse me, let me back up. The only way you can have an abundance and an optimization of our world is if you understand what the planet has and you gauge all of its resources. This is why an intellectual unification that Jacques Fresco talks about, world unification, it's not world government at all. It's an entirely different ideological disposition based on what's available on the planet, what the society needs. And this is an extremely long-winded conversation. I wish we had more time.
Yeah, but who's going to decide what humanity needs?
The question isn't who's going to decide. It's how will the decisions be made. It's an ideological-based assumption based on nature. There's an empirical order that's been working in nature forever. For example, anything that you have in your studio right now, all the technology is derived from one process, and that's called the scientific method. Our society needs to be completely in accord with this. The parameters are self-evident once you get this train of thought going.
But there aren't going to be people that, quote, want to be in accord, and there's huge debates within the scientific method. And so how are you going to bring something completely into accord or eradicate that?
Well, this is why human behavior has to be understood, which is another very important point that we need
to understand. And I disagree with you that humans are fundamentally, you know, don't have competition in them.
Okay, well,
I mean, that is all over the animal kingdom. That is the name of the game.
Sure, but why? Why does the animal kingdom have this?
Because of resources.
Exactly.
But also because of the design in our development within that system of competition, it is to deny how we were developed and what we have been developed to do.
Well, I would have to respectfully disagree with that because there's no basis for that. Everything that we have that we think is derived naturally as far as human instinct, every form of human instinct that you see popularized by the modern-day alchemists, the geneticists that say, you know, they can find the genetic gene for smoking or the genetic gene to be a Republican. This is completely ignoring basically everything that the environment has been teaching us. For example, if you were taken as a little baby, infant, brought over to the Middle East, dropped off into a family that was Muslim, you would be on the air right now speaking Arabic, praising Allah, and you'd have a show called Info Jihad. It's completely arbitrary to the extent. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't kernels of elements in our lives that dictate. We want to live.
Wait a minute. It's not kernels. Conservatively, more than half of our activities in motion is genetic and nature, and then nurture is the variant that will change for the time and place and culture how your genetic information manifests.
Everything that we understand has been taught to us in some capacity, especially our operations. Every word I'm saying has been taught to me. Every concept has been relayed in some capacity to me. And through my mental operations, which is a form of conditioning, I have arrived at novel conclusions. My originality is simply because of the environmental influences that are completely and utterly conditioned to me as opposed to everyone else. Everyone is different because they come from different conditioning, in other words. This is extremely powerful, and it's not 50-50. It's probably 90-10. Our conditioning is everything. And when we realize that the monetary system...
Hold on, we're going back to the full audience. Here we go.
We don't need no thought control.
Talking to the creator of Zeitgeist 1 and now Zeitgeist 2, Addendum, Peter Joseph. Peter, I fundamentally, and we were just discussing this for the internet audience only when we skipped that break, we're back to the full audience now. I disagree with you fundamentally that humans are trained and conditioned to be competitive. All higher species, mammals particularly, are competitive. It is, at its base, a genetic competitiveness to pass on the traits that made the species excel in its environment in our development. And then all the elite does is knows how to manipulate and punch those buttons and condition those and hone those and bring up certain instincts that have manifested through societal developments and to overexpress others and to suppress others that they don't like. I fundamentally disagree with you on that point.
Well, I want to make a comment then that it's for the audience to decide, of course. And I think what people fail to realize, the geneticists fail to realize, what your worldview isn't taking into account are the millions, if not billions, of years of evolution based on scarcity. All the animal kingdom has lived within scarcity. You have to have social hierarchy of a pack of lions. You have to have fighting because there's not enough to go around. In the new society,
and you have to have fighting today because there's always going to be corrupt people. But some of the Zeitgeist followers say, I can't even say what evil is because that's my Christian construct. No, it's not. Evil is destroying the planet. Evil is killing life. Evil is hurting the weak and the meek and the small. These are basic rules, you know, that what is anti-life, what is destructive of the tribe, we call evil.
Well, what is evil? Define it for me. What causes evil? What causes someone to behave in an evil manner?
Well, I'm asking you, do you believe evil exists?
Absolutely not, because based on the definition of evil, it's basically a religious connotation. It doesn't mean anything. It's an empty distinction. If I was to redefine it, I'd say evil would be aberrant behavior. And if I was to define aberrant behavior, I would say almost conclusively that aberrant behavior is caused by the necessities of the environment.
But is it aberrant to have a leech through their breeding, through their culture, who are hyper-aggressive and hyper-dominant and sadistic? I call Satanists kidnapping a child and raping them for a month and cutting their heart out evil, because that is evil according to the human code, and evil according to us having safe, happy tribes who can go on being scientists and creating, which is the main drive and goal of the species.
Sure. Nevertheless, however, it's always a product of conditioning. The people in the secret societies that you talk about that have grown up with their elitism, they are molded and shaped. Henry Kissinger, George Bush, these men brought up in elite system, they behave in elite ways.
That's right. They sent Prince Charles to boarding schools to be beat up, to be treated bad, to make him a nasty person.
Well, there you have it, and this is exactly my point. So in order to fully change society, in order to really understand what's going on, you can't use these outmoded words. At least in my opinion, I don't like evil because it has a generally religious notion. It denotes a
steadfast
element.
Here's what I'm saying to you. I've read The Social Workers 150 years ago. I've read The Social Engineers and The Transhumanists and The Posthumanists, and they all say very close to what you're saying about this utopia of the machines getting rid of our competitiveness, but then they bring in a hyper-competitiveness to dominate us. When the social workers kidnap people's kids for no reason for the state to re-educate them, it makes nightmares. I mean, I've heard all this, and people showing me fancy roads and models of spaceships and saying we're going to create a utopia and we're not going to have money anymore. And then what is money versus this monetary system you talk about with banker fractional reserve manipulation?
Well, first of all, there's no utopia. I want to get this out of the way. That's a loaded term, just like evil. It has no basis. Secondly, the difference between the system that I'm advocating versus the fractional reserve monetary system is multifaceted. First of all, the monetary system, I went into specific detail to talk about how the fractional reserve system enslaves humanity distinctly with absolute acuteness, because there's not enough money in the money supply to go around. Let's assume that there was.
Yeah, but you're saying it's a system failing. They designed it to consolidate power. It is succeeding according to their aims. You're saying, and your experts are saying, society's going to fail, so we'll have a new, better system or a shot at it. But to them, the drug war, any of it, it's not failing. It is succeeding, and they want to create a collapse to bring in more social engineering and their utopia.
Okay, well, you changed the topic a little bit from what I was talking about, so let me address that. Basically, the collapse is not entirely 100% rigged. What it is a pyramid scheme that is tipping, that they've been expecting for a long time, and of course they're going to capitalize on it. The fractional reserve system has to fail, and that's what we're talking about. The monetary system has to fail because it's based on competition and self-interest. And power monopoly is just like in the second part of Zeitgeist Addendum, where I talk about world monopoly.
Well, I'm going to stop you right there. So you can't even say you're wrong there. They fundamentally design these in endless Ponzi schemes that always sieve out, like a guy panning for gold in a river, the wealth. I mean, they admit it. It's in all their documents. Here we go. We're going to skip this break, too. We're going to skip it right now. I mean, go ahead and counter that. Go ahead and explain to me how it's not engineered by them.
I'm not saying it's not engineered per se. You make these leaps that I can't see how you can honestly stand behind them with 100% confidence. The fractional reserve system, which has been put in place, they knew what would happen to it, but it created such a great level of differential advantage for their control, for the corporate structure and everything else. I don't think they wanted it to fail. This is why the boom and bust cycle is what it is. It's completely contrived. I will admit that to you. But they have a very delicate balance right now, because the people, and especially in the West, if the system fails the way it should, the way it mathematically should, just like every bust should be about 10 times worse than it really is, but it's not, because that's why the Federal Reserve was created, the lender of last resort.
They always create a new bubble.
Of course they do, and this is the way it has to work, though. It's a natural phenomenon. It's not as rigged as you think it is, because the money has to go somewhere, but they do protect it. And right now we're seeing the top of this pyramid scheme collapse, and I think the elite, even though they have their power consolidation, they know that they have to walk a very delicate line, because the public is going to lose it. They're going to lose control of the public if they allow another depression. The public
Hold on. I mean, let's go back to what you just said there. The central banks are cutting off liquidity to the real market and the population of the world. They are then, while telling the public the money's going to them, conduiting all of the fiat currency to themselves while it still has some value, while they consolidate real assets. And Business Week and the Financial Times of London properly say that this is actually good for that small inner group of banks to consolidate.
I'm not saying it isn't, Alex. I don't know where you're getting that.
I've got audio clips from the film is where I got that.
Well, if you listen to the first zeitgeist, I make it extremely clear about the interests of the international bankers.
Look, I overall think your film is healthy and good and thought-provoking and great. It's just that I've always told my listeners, don't make what I'm saying a religion where I'm infallible and question me. And I'm saying, and obviously no work can be complete. None of it can be perfect. I'm hoping here, and I'm sure you've got things you can teach me, to open up avenues of discussion and refinement, not in your overall idea, but in how people are interpreting it. Because certainly you know about the socialists and the Fabian socialists and the engineers, and H.G. Wells and Bertrand Russell and all them, saying about 90% of what you're saying at the end of Zeitgeist Addendum, but overlaying it with government central control to be able to construct it.
Well, I couldn't disagree more. Based on the fact that what has been presented might sound like socialism, it might sound like Marxism because of those kernels of element of having a system that's designed for society as opposed to everyone fighting each other in order to survive in this monetary system-based competition illusion that's been created. The difference is the entire foundation of this is that it's related to science purely. And think about all the early Fabian socialists and all these guys, whatever their intent was, negative or positive, they had no concept of what technology is, and neither does half the people on this planet.
All right, stay there. Stay there. Full audience right now. Here we go. Hey, let's keep this rolling underneath our guest. I'm going to try to control myself and just sit here and write notes. I'm going to shut up for 10 minutes. Peter Joseph, creator of Zeitgeist, and you just run with what you're really saying overall, trying to encapsulate it all, and then I'll come in with some of my primitive musings here. My feeble mind will try to grasp it. Again, I want to say overall, I think your film's healthy and thought-provoking. I think these discussions are important, and people shouldn't allow institutionalized religion or anything to shutter their intellect from trying to grasp the whole width, breadth, and depth of this multifaceted, multivariate universe that we swim in. So, creator of Zeitgeist, you go ahead. You got the floor.
All right. Well, the first thing we need to discuss is the monetary system itself. And the system that is underlying, or the belief system that is perpetuated by this structure, the greatest failure of our society for thousands and thousands of years is to not address the root causes of human behavior. And the monetary system has created one of the worst behavioral complexes that society has ever seen. It is compounding age-old instincts which have very little relevance to progress at all, including things like competition. If I was to ever call it an instinct, I'd say it's a natural culmination due to environment. If you're put into an environment of scarcity where there's no work, no jobs, you're going to be forced to steal. Your aberrant behavior is a creation. It's not inbred whatsoever. And I can defend that on multiple levels, but I'm going to move on to talk about the system itself, the monetary system. It doesn't matter if it's free enterprise. It doesn't matter if it's communistic or capitalistic or socialist. These are loaded terms based on basically outmoded ideologies that are no longer relevant. What we have is a system of competition that's inherently based on the assumption that human beings must fight with each other in order to survive. That's one. The second point is that human beings have to have incentives in order to be motivated to do something. And these are two extremely dangerous and ill-gotten perceptions of human behavior. The first mode to the effect that human beings need to have incentive, we'll go to that one first, is human beings' motivation can come from many different places. When you're a child, you have all sorts of interests that you pursue. You have all sorts of creativities that you find fascinating. You don't know what money is. You don't need incentive to do something. Einstein and Galileo, all of these great men that contributed, they didn't need money as incentive to do something. This is something they did on their own accord. Unfortunately, the brainwashing of society has forced people into a disposition where they want to be rewarded for what they do, and that means they want monetary compensation. No one will do anything in society without reward, and that includes solving social problems. If you can't make money off of solving a social problem in this system, it won't be done. And that is a very, very sad state of affairs. The first part, the first mention that I made, where humans have to fight to compete for labor and income, the scarcity that exists in the system, this is created by the monetary system, not only through the fractional reserve system, but in the very structure itself. You can't have a society and expect progress in civil arrangements, ethics, decency, whatever you want to call it, morality, in a system where everyone is gaining off of everyone else through differential advantage. This can't work, it doesn't work, and it's never going to work. This is why the world is what it is today, almost exclusively based on this competitive notion that is compounded and perpetuated by the monetary system. And this is the greatest failure that people don't understand. This is why I argue against it. I'm not saying that the Venus Project, and they're the first to admit this as well, is the end-all. There's no utopia. But they recognize this core element that is corrupting human behavior, so we have to move out of this system. One of the things that people don't realize about the monetary system, which is very important, I think you should think about this too, at least in this fabled free enterprise system specifically, is that it always leads to corruption. We say that the free enterprise system is, you know, it could be great, it could be pure. You could have a perfect free enterprise system and it would work. Well, there's no such thing as that, because it automatically leads to corruption. It automatically leads to oligopoly and monopoly. It automatically leads to aberrant behavior and power consolidation, because that's the basis of it. That is the guiding principle, differential advantage. In order for society to progress, you have to eliminate this differential advantage and all the social stratification that occurs because of it, all the materialism. We have an advertising system that sits there and tells us that our value is based on what we own and how an artistic representation is. Our creativity is what we own. Who we are, our identities, are what we own. And this is a colossal and tremendous distortion that needs to be overcome. So the basis of this argument is that we have to have a new system that gets rid of these tendencies. This thing called the New World Order that people talk about all the time, and I actually would like you to come back on the air and answer a question for me, and that is, what is the New World Order as you define it, Alex?
What is the New World Order as I define it?
What is it, this, in a concise definition, tell me what, if you were to explain this to someone who had never even heard of such a thing, in a real concise manner, what is the New World Order?
It is a hereditary clan that rules through the fraudulent fractional reserve monetary banking scam that operates through intelligence systems and shadow governments.
And their goal is what?
Their goal is hyper-dominance. And to control the past, the present, and the future, to set up a worldwide police state by manipulating people's primitive fears with manufactured terror threats, biological threats, chemical threats. Their end game is to exterminate, most of them now say 99% of the population. The public documents say 80%, and to create then a machine utopia where the elite and their progeny go to the stars. It is a worldwide eugenics cult that is in control of most of the resources on the planet and is eradicating the family and the free market, and then, of course, demonizing the free market by claiming this corrupt system they have is a free market, and are now in the final phases of their worldwide consolidation, their victory, which people are calling a collapse or failure.
And what is the path you think everyone should take to stop this New World Order?
The path is multifaceted. We have to take control of our local political units first. We have to stop the electronic voting machine fraud system. To do that, we have to discredit the system, discredit the corrupt government that all the parties have been bought and paid for. We've entered a very deep a sector of the corruption, on the graph, one of the deepest points in the trough.
Well, what about the people, though? What about these people that are the ones that are perpetuating this? What is your solution for these people? What do we do with these people, so to speak? I mean, what is your...
Well, I don't like bloody French-type revolutions, which then turn into something almost even worse. I think they need to be identified, exposed, and then they need to be tried by juries of their peers. They need to be given fair trials and sent to prison. And then their assets need to be nationalized to pay off all the fiat debts they have created. We need to have a population where we don't restrict Madison Avenue, telling us we're inadequate so they can sell us products. We need to become conscious of these motivations and decide with the discernment what is a good advertisement, what is a bad advertisement. You know, in your film, you talk about, or some of your experts talk about, how we can't, you know, basically in a free market or in a system of selling a vase or selling a car or selling a house or, you know, getting our kidney taken out, we can't trust anyone. Well, no, we need to learn to investigate and go to references. And, you know, that's why within the past we had brand names, you know, a sewing machine that was known to last longer and be better. That way, if this is not free market, slave goods coming in from China that fall apart in 5 minutes. And so I disagree with that fundamentally. And there's just so much I disagree. Well, let me stop you. I disagree so much fundamentally, you know, with saying we just can't trust the free market and products and goods because people have a reason to lie to you, to sell you crap because somebody might have something better, and then that stops people from progressing, when it is the limited free market, though invaded and corrupted, monopolies through government help, you know, that have been set up, that we do have societal development, technological development, because people do want gain by their inventions, and they do want the prestige, and it has been our competitive renaissance free market, the yeoman farmer becoming a tinkerer, becoming an engineer, turning loose the native intelligence of the commoners that has created all the amazing things we see around us. But that's the byproduct of making us decadent and selfish in Madison Avenue through brainwashing to secure the elite as they try to come in with a counter-revolution to take over the renaissance that has taken place. And so they have damaged and programmed the majority of the public. And so we need to, at a cellular level, those of us that are aware, try to wake up our friends, family, neighbors, communities, and at a cellular level, one cell at a time, heal the system with an exponential growth curve towards doing that.
Okay, let's step back to my original question, which was about the New World Order. So basically, you're
I told you what they are. They're hereditary kings who learned how to go underground.
I'm commenting on this. This is why I wanted to ask the question. Basically,
I thought you were posing it again. You said, I go back to my original question.
No, I just want to go back and address it, because you've gone on a nice tangent, which I appreciate, but you've moved away from what my original response was going to be.
Well, it's a complex world, takes complex solutions. I'm giving you actually analyzed information, things that have been thought out.
Of course. Well, let's
not general ideas.
Let me comment, if you don't mind. Basically, your assumption then on the New World Order is that you have to have the public to wake up to this elite group that are trying to dominate things, and then you have to prosecute them and put them in jail and take them out, and that will be the resolution, as you basically.
That will not be the total resolution, but yes, we have a, just like the Nazis, they had to be taken out, or finally the communist Chinese said Mao and his wife are nuts, killing everybody because they made a deal with these eugenicists in Europe. We got to arrest them. You know, we got to arrest his wife.
Okay, well, here's a difference. I know you're going to disagree with it, but I think it's good for your audience to ponder this. The genetic basis, the heredity basis that you assume, is very much unsupported because, as I said, these secret societies are secret societies. They culminate who they bring in, and everyone is conditioned into a particular worldview. But the secret societies are also conditioned in and of themselves. Their conditioning comes from somewhere. And my point to you and to your audience is that the New World Order is not some elite sect of people. If you took out every single person at the top of the so-called...
The system is still there, and more people would step into those places like shark teeth. That's not what I said. I said take the consolidated, because that's how they've been conditioned, that's how the system's been set up, and they are, you know, coming from that same mindset. They want that power.
It's the environment, isn't it, Alex? It's the environment.
Well, I never said the environment wasn't part of all this.
I know you did.
But I'm saying we as a people are competitive, and you have malfunctioning hyper... I mean, here's an example. I try not to be that competitive and lift people up and bring them in, and then I find out as soon as they think they're a big shot, they turn around and attack, primitively thinking in competition, if they knock me, the king monkey, off in this movement, that somehow that will make them the king monkey. But that isn't the case, because in reality, I'm not even the king monkey in all of this. So I'm saying competitiveness is a good thing overall. It just has to be, we have to be conscious of it, and we have to have rules and parameters in it, and then have a playbook, basically, that societally we agree on, and that we're constantly changing. So I mean, this whole thing of trying to say that we innately aren't aggressive, and that we are. I mean, no matter what culture it is, little girls innately start going and building a camp and start breaking up wood and practicing making dinner. And, you know, I mean, you can take a girl, you know, I try with my girls, have them play with toy guns and army men and soccer and football. I want tomboys. And you know what? They don't like that. They go directly for the pink Barbie. And it isn't culture because they're not allowed to watch TV.
Well, I think I would have to see those instances and conditions. I mean, I can't relay this enough.
This is ridiculous. Why does a sperm whale go south in the winter? I mean, it is genetic. I mean, why do geese know how to fly according to magnetic poles? You are
why
saying...
Why do birds build a nest?
Exactly. You're saying instinct has nothing to do with it. This is
it's imprinting. It's imprinting. The bird builds a nest because it's born in a nest. You took a bird immediately out of the nest.
Oh, my God.
How does
a garden spider know how to spin a web? I mean, what are you... Let me tell you, bro, you got some major issues that are wrong, and I'm telling you, you're influential. You're influential, and that's a good thing, because the alternative needs to become, you know, the majority, and I'm all for this, but I'm telling you, and I'm not even looking to argue with you here today. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you, man. Does the mommy spider teach the spider how to do that? Are elephants... Do elephant bulls fight with each other, you know, for dominance, for the best mate, because they saw their daddy elephant fight?
No, because they live in scarcity, and that's what their instincts of survival have to culminate in order to survive. In
look, you can't take the spider out of the spider. You can't take the man out of the man.
Look, humans are very different from other organisms on this planet. We have the ability to think and create. Our instincts can be changed, whatever that means. There are no actual human instincts, and I have tons of science to back this up, especially the human being, who is so malleable, so easy for influence. If you don't believe that, take a look at the news and how
you're missing it. I agree with you. I believe that separates us from the rest of the animal kingdom.
You say the competition and greed.
Hold on. Makes us innately different is that we can transcend and rapidly change, and we are not completely frozen into instinct like animals. I'm just saying that there are those two parts.
There are, but one is very much overshadows the other, and that is the conditioning. That is the environment. We have to change the environment if we expect the world to change. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to get anywhere by building more prisons, getting more police, and making more laws.
I agree with that. Well, stop. The social engineers want to put people in prisons because they own them, and they want to have slavery. So this is the way to legalize slavery and say, if we catch you with this compound that's addictive that we ship in, then we're going to put you in our slave pit. You're acting, because I've been watching your film and watching other people that support what you're saying, and it's the view that the elite are dumb and stupid, and they don't know what they're doing, and they're idiots, and more cops and more prisons aren't going to work. Of course it's working. More people in prison, more slavery, more control. It's working beautifully.
Sure, that's one angle to look at it, but nevertheless, the public is conditioned to think these institutions are actually true and real institutions, and not every stratified element of the prison system are a bunch of elites sitting there talking.
No, the low-level morons that have lost all their other factory jobs and want to work as prison guards in there. You're absolutely right. They've been forced through engineering into that evil economy, that corrupt, that bad, that anti-human, that suppressing. Grabbing some black kid because he was caught with cocaine the government shipped in when he's 14 years old because the MTV tells him it's cool with the bling culture, and throwing him in a tiny cell to now be trained how to be a hardcore criminal. That is evil against the human code of nurturing and growing and training and building and reaching for the stars. There is evil, and I will declare abortion evil. I will declare us special. I will declare us a divine species in the image of God, and I will not let the technocrats or anybody else tell me that, because I know we're going to the stars, and I know our destiny is great, and I know a little black kid having pesticide tested on them till they die is evil.
Sure, but that evil has a source, and that's what you fail to realize. And that source can be addressed through the environment and conditioned out of. And until you realize that, your irrational tirades are not going to help anything. You're going to be...
It's not irrational. It is my instinct with the intellectual overlaid into the animal propulsion system to drive the species and to rally my fellow humans to come out of their cocoons and resist the tyranny.
Yeah, the us against them, of course. The us against them.
There is an us against them. There's always going to be Jeffrey Dahmers. There's always going to be Ted Turners. There's always going to be Albert Pikes. You're always going to need weapons because enemies are always going to come against you. There is going to be no utopia, ladies and gentlemen. We must stop being so trusting. It was talk of utopia that killed 200 million people in the last century. We're going to skip this break. Yeah! All right, go ahead. You got the floor.
Well, I'm glad we are having a discussion as opposed to a debate, Alex.
It is a discussion.
Well, sure.
You've been engaging in low-level monkey behavior. You've been debating. Don't say I'm the only primitive.
No, I'm not debating. I'm trying to present ideas, but you keep cutting me off and projecting what you think is true.
I'm projecting what, but you know what is true.
Alex, let's be mature here. Hold on.
You're saying that what you're saying is a fact, and I'm projecting what I know to be true.
What I'm suggesting is it's been proven by evidence continuously. You have absolutely no proof that there's going to always.
That's a lawyer statement. I'll give you proof all day. Proof of what? What proof do you seek?
You base your assumption on the fact that we've always lived in scarcity, yet you don't recognize that. You don't realize that the human...
Without that drive of scarcity, our key propulsion system is lost to go to the stars.
No, that's ridiculous. What are you talking about?
Our prime drive is to build, and that comes out of scarcity in our development, needing to have a drive, needing to be restless, needing to build a better mousetrap, a better throwing spear, so that the tribe could survive. I don't think that's fundamentally evil. I think there are subgroups of humans who are predating, engaging in predator activity against their fellow humans, like we are. Subspecies that deserves to be fed on. I'm saying that's sin. I'm saying that's crime. I'm saying we need communities of purpose, and I agree with a lot of what you're talking about.
Yes, but you fail continuously to see the fundamental point. And what is the fundamental point? It's human conditioning and not genetics that has the relevant issue here. Unless, if you want to maintain this society, say, for example, you want to continue this thing you call the free market, which is probably the most, and I mean monetary system of all accord. Communism, socialism, fascism,
no,
it doesn't matter.
Those are all scams.
Stop interrupting me. I'm not finished. This is the type of thing that people need to understand about the environment. As long as we have a monetary system that is based on people getting advantage of each other, you know, those $29.95 DVD conspiracy combo packs you sell, you know why you have those little $29.95? It's to manipulate your audience into buying it because they don't think it's $30. This is the type of nonsense manipulation that goes on every day that we think is commonplace, and it's a distortion, it's anti-human, you engage in it, I am forced to engage in it on certain
levels.
If you were to get a job anywhere, you are participating in a corrupt behavior because you have to take that work away from somebody else.
No, you're part of a tribe, you're part of a team, it's just the elites don't treat the subgroups like that. Hey, we're coming back to the full audience, and I want to address what you just said in this whole discussion about money, okay? Here we go right now.
That's now.
Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same?
Is it easier on you now?
Will it make it easier on you now?
You got someone to blame.
Got someone to blame.
All right, our guest is the creator of Zeitgeist, and
one love,
he says he's not debating, but he, A, just engaged in just amazing hypocrisy, and I'm going to finish this and let you counter, people listening on the internet, you know, saying the incredible, those little DVD compacts, you know, you sell. It's, you know, $29.95 is manipulative, and you know, it's bad. And then you go on to say that what I am forced to sell, you know, exactly, you sell your film, so you have the money for the computers. Let me finish. The money for the cameras, the money to fly places, to interview people, to make an even better film, to pay for your apartment in New York or wherever it is you're at. to do all of this, and I'm not saying that the monetary system isn't a total fraud with fractional reserve banking and fiat currency running a scam or an image. But if farmers want to create their local county or city money that they agree upon on exchanging, that greases the skids of commerce, makes it easier for them to exchange goods. That's something that's needed. And I have done whole shows on marketing and saying, why don't I sell a video for $20? Why do I say $19.95? Because psychologically, the $19.95 sounds like it's somehow less. And plus, it's what we're used to in the parameters of bigger advertisement. So it triggers those neural pathways that make people buy. Now, I really resent the fact that, you know, I pioneered 12 years ago putting my videos on the web for free, and then even paying with my own bandwidth, not just for free, paying to give it to people, paying to be a slave. And then I pioneered viral videos on the web. I pioneered going up and bullhorning politicians. I pioneered going and taking over press conferences. I had no idea I was doing it at the time. It just seemed most effective. I've done all this. I've given. And then you could say that I'm evilly manipulating people, selling things and how I'm selling it, but then in the next breath admit, you are selling stuff. That is, and I always love it. You know, the futurist and the engineer you interview in your film, Jacques, his house is up for sale right now. His 20-acre compound I saw online. I mean, you know, he's selling stuff. Oh, Mike, but see, when you do it, it's loving. When I do it, it's bad. Explain that to me.
And it's getting really annoying to me. So why don't you step back a second and listen to what I actually said. I said, when you put something online and you say it's $29.95 alone, I don't give a damn about what you're doing as far as this and that. It's irrelevant to the point that I was making. My point is that you are engaging in a manipulative practice. If you want to sell something for $20, put it up for $20. Don't make it $19.95. The entire system is based on differential advantage and manipulation.
I did in the past, and I told
people, you are there to preserve.
I put it up there. I know I'm evil. I mean, you're not evil. We've heard it. No. It's true. I'm bad. I'm selling things. It's true. I've been caught.
It's selling things, Alex. It's nothing to do with selling things. It's the way you go about it. Look, you can sit there and project all day. It's not going to help anything. I'm sitting here trying to explain to you that the financial system creates aberrant behavior, and until you and your audience realize this, nothing's going to change. The financial system, not in the way it's constructed, but the actual underpinning mechanism that guides human behavior in the economic structure that relates to business and everything else, will lead only to corruption.
Hey, why do birds
self-preservation? You have your own self-preservation.
Why do birds get shiny objects and put them in their nest?
Why do birds get shiny objects and put them in their nest? I don't know. Tell me.
Well, it's not because they're greedy and evil. And Madison Avenue told them they like the shiny thing. So to say that humans wanting things or wanting a house on a hill because they can see a beautiful vista, to claim that people wanting things is inherently bad, it's just that it's lower on the hierarchy of needs.
That is not what I'm saying.
And if you will do immoral things for things, that's bad. But wanting things...
I'm not putting words in my mouth, Alex.
I'm not putting words in your mouth.
Thank you for...
Hey, let me talk to him. We'll stay on air here for a minute. Hey, we're going to have a one-minute break, and we'll come right back to you for the second hour, okay?
All right, Alex.
And we're going to play some clips of Zeitgeist addendum here and get your response to those.
I really appreciate it if you actually let me respond, because I have a very simple train of thought I'm luring here.
Look,
jumping off on cliffs, man. I don't appreciate it.
Hey, Peter, it sounds to me you're another one of these intellectuals who will say vicious, aggressive things and then piss their pants if anybody else... Hold on a minute. Aggressive. Piss their pants if anybody else says anything half as mean back to them. Okay, and now I'm really going to do a critique of you, and now I'm getting out the fine-tooth comb, so get ready.
You realize that I've said nothing negative.
Yeah. Hey, listen, here we go.
What if I said negative?
Hey, what you don't realize, I've said 100 times on air that $29.95 is manipulative, and I point out on air it is. So, again...
Well, I'm just making the example, Alex.
Okay, hey, here we go. Back to the full audience in 20 seconds.
You need to effectively wake up your fellow man and fight the New World Order is available right now at truthnews.us and prisonplanet.tv. Join the info war today.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
This all started a couple weeks ago when I watched Zeitgeist Addendum And I came on air and I said, look, all I know is I'm hearing the same buzzwords. Government withering away, eradication of the classes, and we're going to play those clips. And I said, I think these people all mean well, and I think it's all interesting. It's just human nature. And look, human nature, you got two men on the air. And look, he's getting fiery. He's getting upset. That's the passion. That's not evil or even something competitive. That is the tectonic, volcanic fury, spewing out of, Vulcan's blacksmith shop. That's humanity. So listen, I tried to give you 10 minutes earlier just to run. You say I keep interrupting, but you keep making statements at me, so I'm going to make counters. So I'm going to just go. Run with it. You got the floor.
Well, first of all, it's not the passion for me to get irritated and express that irritation. It's the condition that you set up, because apparently the only way to communicate with you is through this kind of WWF aggression that you seem to perpetuate.
Exactly. You've got to sit up there with a big bubble alien head, like in Star Trek, and I'm the dumb Captain Kirk down here. You're like, I am the watcher. You are the little...
Yeah, keep it going. Yeah, that's
great. No, you always push yourself. Oh, I'm up here. I'm figuring it out. Yeah.
If you listen to anything that was ever presented in my films, I don't know...
I know. Listen, go, man. You got the floor.
Well, actually, my whole point was to actually discuss things with you, Alex, and I'm going to say a bunch of things, and you're going to come back on, and you're going to project a bunch of other things. So what I will say is essentially what I've said before, because your audience is the most important thing here, and that's who I really would like to speak with. Ladies and gentlemen, people, we have to start thinking about root causes of behavior. We can't have these superstitious notions of reality. Religion wants us to believe that there's a good and an evil. This is easy to understand. It's easy to think that some people are just naturally good and naturally bad. This is a sad, sad worldview of humanity. And it's perpetuated and consolidated in our mind because the system that's been created continues this bad human tendency. It continues this need for self-perpetuation, self-preservation.
Well, wait, how can you say there's even a bad? I thought there's no, I mean, bad, evil, same thing.
I never said that evil didn't exist in the sense I'm redefining the terms, Alex. It's not bad or good. I'm giving it a quantitative nation to make it relevant. It is bad for people to beat each other up, as far as I'm concerned. There is a quality distinction, but it's not evil. There's reasons behind it. When you say evil, you are implying a religious connotation that rejects behavioral conditioning of that person. And every single human being is born. There's no difference between a Gandhi baby and a Hitler baby. I hate to break it to you. It's all a matter of conditioning. Until you address this, nothing's going to change. The New World Order will continue. People at the top will be arrested. We'll have more false flag terrorist attacks. Society will break down. You'll have power consolidation. And even the rich elite will eventually suffer because they are completely out of line with nature. And that's the entire point. You cannot have a system based on differential advantage in society and expect progress. And back to your other point, progress is not money. It's human creativity in science and technology. Everything you have, you owe to science and technology. Everything in your studio right now, the chair you're sitting on.
I owe that to the human mind.
Of course it is, and that's the beauty of the human being. We have the ability to create something that the animal kingdom does not have, not to the extent that we...
Well, B.F. Skinner said beyond good and evil, and then once you're beyond good and evil, then they say it's okay for them to do whatever they want. But you're not saying that.
Say that again.
Skinner and people talked about beyond good and evil. And then,
beyond good and evil.
Yeah, so they can.
Sure.
So by any time we try to make a moral judgment, people say that's just religious. Well, hold on. I mean, I know Brahma cattle. Brahma cattle are very aggressive genetically. They're some of the most dangerous type of cows to have, and that is genetic. That's not trained into the Brahma cows. And we know. Well, I mean, they've done all sorts of genetic studies, and a lot of aggression is genetic, and then it can be taken down or it can be jacked up.
Sure. But I think you'll tend to find, though, there's a lot of discontinuous information, a lot of bad research that's gone into the geneticist ideologies. For example, the reason that these cattle might be violent has nothing to do with their genetics. It's the fact that they're born into this violent herd and they condition those responses. This is the nature with all dogs. This is the nature, there's a cliche of Rottweilers being mean. This isn't true. It just happens to be that the people that get these Rottweilers do so with a specific intent, and the statistics support that they're conditioned aberrantly.
I think that's a big part of it, but a lot of people have nice, sweet pit bulls and Rottweilers, and one day it bites their child's face off, so I don't understand that. We're going to skip this break, too. Look, in the limited time we have here, I really don't want to make this a fight, and I don't want to
get... you're not acting like you, man. I'm really offended that you're yelling at me because I'm just presenting ideas.
Yelling excitedly here on air, and I want to try to go through some other areas of the film. I want to try to go through some other facets because I agree with you about how the monetary system's working. But are you saying that's basically any system that uses symbols to try to grease the skids of commerce?
No, what I'm saying is that you're using a system of exchange that's based on scarcity, and you can't and based on differential advantage. Money is inherently a corrupt behavior-producing element. It can't be any other way because it's scarce, just like everything in nature. This is why the animals behave the way they do in nature for food and what have you. You can't have a system of inherent scarcity and ever, ever expect people to behave in any what so-called ethical
way. So what do you propose to replace money? How is this metamorphosis?
Well, this is exactly what we were talking about with the resource-based economy. Money doesn't exist. Money is not real. It never has been. Labor, 90% of the jobs people have today, and I'm talking about employment labor. I'm not talking about human interest in working. There's a big distinction there. I think you've got that wrong in your
argument. So how does this start? Where do we get the land? Who gives it? Do you take somebody's land to give it to another group?
Of course not. You're jumping way ahead. You have to get the ideology down first, and then the communication will begin on a vast scale.
But don't I need to know that if an ideology is going to work good, if I'm going to sign on to it, I need to war game it out historically and try to look at it? Or I just accept the ideology first and then hope it works?
No, you don't accept the ideology first and hope it works. That's a faith-based ideology. What you have is you have intellectual analysis of the environmental conditions of the planet itself, and you begin to restructure society based on what we understand today.
How do we restructure society? That isn't going to have a central term?
First of all, the first thing that I think the natural progression would be to build the first city. As I said earlier, this is a technological development. We have to recognize that everything we have is owed to technology. It's owed to human creativity. So we can create things that relieve us of human labor. I point out this tendency, this clash we have with the labor system and human employment, labor system and automation, and this is extremely prevalent. We used to have all factory jobs. Now we have a service industry. And a service industry slowly being phased out as well. This isn't some plot of the New World Order. This
really
is a natural element of technology replacing human labor. So rather than be fearful of this, we have to harness it, and we have to utilize technology for what its real gift is, and that's extensions of us to relieve us of different things that we do not want to do or don't need to do or are dangerous to do. And that is a central philosophical point in this arrangement. To build the first city would rely entirely on pure renewable energies, transportation that's completely clean. You know, it would cost more money.
Hold on, here we go back to the full audience. Explain it to people. Here we go.
Proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We're talking with Peter Joseph, the creator of Zeitgeist, and then he's now made Addendum. I would hope that some of the Zeitgeist viewers would check out my documentary films, because I know the society is engineered. It's stated it is called the scientific dictatorship. My film Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, details just a small part with specifics of what they're doing, how they understand human progression, how they want to phase humans out of involvement with the machines, with the systems, whereas this could be an empowering thing, as Zeitgeist is talking about, and I actually agree with that in a lot of the film. They are using it as a way to say they don't need humans and that we're overpopulated and we're a scourge and we've got to just be gotten rid of. And that's been widely discussed and is being pushed by the leading transhumanists, not the whole movement, and the eugenicist, the crypto eugenicist, and others. And I was asking the fellow we're talking to with his ideas and the Venus Project ideas how we would start. And I actually agree, it would be a model system. A town, a city, an area to be a demonstration of the future and what we could move into. But then I would ask him the question, how do you stop the establishment from trying to move in and block its development, because they're trying to block anything that decentralizes power?
Yeah, it's a very good question. That is not a simple answer. Essentially, the establishment would do everything it could to stop any type of system that was self-preserving in its own way, self-sustaining, because you can't get profit off of efficiency, sustainability, or abundance. That's why our system right now, the free market as we call it, or monetary system, monetaryism as I coined, will never ever work, because you can never have a world without war or poverty on a system that's based on differential advantage and scarcity. The profit is made off of scarcity. The limited number of things available makes it more profitable. The oil companies have been raping people all past few years, or continuously since the 1970s, with this general tactic, and it's pervasive throughout the entire system. So, naturally, the establishment will reject this, and I'm very aware of that. That is why, at the end of Zeitgeist Addendum, I have a series of boycotts. When the public begins to wake up to the reality of what's possible as a human species, away from all these ridiculous institutions that have no relevance to anything, then that's when the true awakening will occur. People will try to distort the system. They will try to bomb it, do whatever. Anything could happen. But it doesn't matter, because the system will prevail, because it's based on something true. Not money, not competition, but resources and creativity.
But weapons, that's what the Great Leap Forward and the Cultural Revolution said they were going to do in China.
Well, obviously it didn't work, and there's probably many good reasons for that, because China is a monetary system too. Look, that's why the world system has to change. That's why the human value system has to begin to understand what's going on. I'm not saying this is an easy thing to do. What I'm saying is that this is the next step. You have to have world unification intellectually to understand the planetary resources and what's capable on it.
But see, then people won't unify, so what do you do about them? They're going to hold it back.
Well, then they make that decision, and they sit in their world. You can have a sadly enough, you know, there's no perfect scenario here.
Oh, there's no us against them?
No, there's no us against them. If someone wants to do something else, they do it. No one's eradicated, as you belligerently put in your October 8th. This is a silly, silly notion. There's nothing.
No, I was repeating. He was talking about classes, everything would be eradicated.
The human value system adjusting and growing and adapting. That's what he's talking about.
Well, hold on. Let's play that clip. Let me play that clip. That's the clip we were playing last week, John, which sounds very similar to the H.G. Wells stuff, but not the H.G. Wells clip. It was the clip number 10 is what it's called. Go ahead and play that.
We're such an abominable, sick society that we won't make the history book. They just say that large nations took land from smaller nations, used force and violence. You'll get history talked about as corrupt behavior all the way along until the beginning of the civilized world. That's when all the nations worked together. World unification, working toward common good for all human beings, and without anyone being subservient to anyone else. Without social stratification, whether it be technical elitism or any other kind of elitism, eradicated from the face of the earth. The state does nothing, because there is no state. Because there is no state.
Okay, I don't think I was saying I heard similar things from the communist and the Fabian socialist.
If you go back to your YouTube clip, you specifically project out to your audience that it's an eradication by guns to the head. And if you don't even try to deny it, Alex.
That's what I said. I said over and over again in society, we hear all these ideas, similar things. I'm not saying it's the same. And I'm not saying there isn't a lot of value in what you're saying. I'm saying what happens in the process of getting there generally turns out pretty bad.
Okay, well, that's an assumption that you assume, but has absolutely no relevance to what he's talking about. At the very end of this section, he's speaking idealistically. He's talking about the needs and the broad scheme. We are an incredibly sick society. Our value system...
Who's sick? Like evil? Like evil?
No, sick because we're misinformed. We have turbulent value systems. We have distortions like religion. We have distortions like fashion. We have distortions like greed and competition that are pervasive and completely paralyzed.
Let me ask you a question.
Who we truly are.
You're listening.
That is what he's talking about.
Stop.
You're not letting me finish my point.
I need to ask you a question.
Let me finish my point.
Go ahead.
The point is that he's speaking idealistically. World unification without a state. What does that mean? No one can even think about something like that. It means that the state does not serve the function of any type of state we've ever known. It's not a state of control. Humans are based in a condition of... Humans are deriving their products from a system that is self-generating and self-sustaining, and they contribute to society not because they want money in return or power or any of the nonsensical inventions that we've created. They contribute to society because they understand that the more you give, the more you get.
Well, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Every time people try to have anarchy in groups of bigger than three or four people, always somebody becomes what we would call corrupt or sick, as you would call them, and starts dominating the others. And so what I'm saying is you're a good guy. I believe you're a nice guy who means well. Other people working with you are, and you know, the experts you talk to, I know, you know, both of them are good guys, mean well, and are very intelligent. I'm saying that there is an oversimplification. Are you feeding in all the factors that you talk about?
Yes, of course we are. We're not. No one's ignorant to the current state of things. And by the way, you know, you're sitting there telling me I'm a good guy, right? And off the air, you come on, you tell me that I'm one of these intellectual elites that pisses his pants. Is exactly.
No, that was on air. That was on air, bro.
Well, great.
We've been on air the whole time.
What is this?
Wrong again. That was on air. That we were yelling at each other, and you just said that I was
yelling.
Stop! Stop!
I'm trying to talk.
Put him on hold for just a minute. Look, I got to tell you something, man. You come on here and you say, like it was some vitriol, that I'm bagged as a $29.95, and then I'm selling things, and then you admit I'm forced to, you know, yourself. Hey, buddy, you're playing sad and spooky music on your stuff. That could be seen as a form of deception much greater than saying $29.95. I mean, if you want to take the gloves off, I can take them way off here. Okay, I am trying to be nice here, and I understand you're in this view that you're so intellectual and so sweet and loving that you're just this higher pothead alien, and I'm this lower Neanderthal down here. I understand all that. You know, us Texans, I'm crapping in an outhouse out here every 5 minutes. My point is, with you, is that I haven't, you know, been here trying to shoot you down or attack you, and I said on air about the pissing in the pants. Okay, so go ahead.
Well, sure, fine.
Wrong again.
You're being extremely irrational with this, because I haven't said anything to
insult. No, I just said I think you're a nice guy and a smart guy, and you came back with an aggressive thing. You came back with a debate point.
I think you're a little bit two-faced on this, and I want to make sure that's apparent, that you understand.
No, it was on air, pal. Don't try to say it wasn't.
No, I'm not telling the people on air.
There's no two-face about it, buddy. It's all straight up here.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Now, earlier in your film, I'm going to play the clip, you're talking disdainfully about religion and money and fashion and the family, and it shows a family. What about those? Tell me about them.
Tell you about what? Would you please clarify?
Well, I mean, question? You're mentioning all these, you know, I mean, clearly in the context, all these terrible outmoded things, and I read all the social worker books, how the family's a disease and all this. I'm asking, is the family a good thing, or is it going to go bye-bye too?
Of course the family's a good thing. Family is a natural institution. Family is where people will return to in this type of situation, but there'll be a different association because the family will become the community in many ways. The extensionality that we feel, this thing we call love, is not restricted to your little group or your family.
But love is religious. It doesn't exist either, just like evil doesn't exist. Because if evil doesn't exist, good doesn't exist.
Yeah, I never said evil doesn't exist. It's a different terminology. You use it in a religious context very frequently.
I am not.
Well, fine. If you want to use the word evil, I'll just use the word bad as a synonym. There is an element of alignment. There are certain things that we consider to be socially offensive to the structure, and that's where crime and things come in, so you call them bad, naturally. However, a person engaged in that crime is a victim of their culture. Therefore, they're doing what they have to survive, so it's good for them. Therefore, it's all a matter of degree. Coming back to the family, family is whatever the family wants to be. There's no restrictions. There's no CPS in any type of society. These are all amalgams of the corruption that we see, of this human loss, this intellectual distance.
Well, here's the deal. With 6.5 million people, let's say you got your society, you're saying it's just you're going to be so good that nobody does, you know, these bad things or these sick things anymore. Where does the word eradication come in then? How does that happen?
Because the value system changes and the tendencies are no longer there. They used to feed Christians to lions in Rome. You think they'd get away with that today? No.
Well, they're value getting back to it. They're getting back to the gladiators.
The value systems are changing. They have been through time. The more sophisticated we become, the more we access technology.
I agree.
The more scarcity is reduced, the less aberrant behavior will happen.
I agree. Well, I mean, as the economy goes down, crime goes up. I totally agree with you. I agree with about 90% of what you guys are saying.
Well, then we have to take it further then. Once we realize we can create a society, for example, in this society, let's say you wanted to go to the grocery store. Well, guess what? You go in, you get what you need, and you leave. That's it. Why? Why would no one steal? Because there's no reason to. They can't sell it because there's no money. There's no reason for differential advantage in a position where you can't actually engage in gaining something through abuse in society. This is a core point in why money is such a horrible invention for control. You know, money is the ultimate divide and conquer, Alex. And, you're someone who's supposed to be privy to manipulation techniques. The free enterprise system, all the monetary systems are pure
divide. I am privy to music. Here we go. Hold on. Let me explain how this is working here for you. The internet audience is on PrisonPlanet.tv right now. It is huge, hundreds of thousands listening on the web, and then millions over time on the web. So we're skipping AM and FM breaks, shortwave breaks, satellite breaks, and so the audience is probably 10% of what it was. But it is on the air. It is in the view of everyone. All of this is, unless you just...
I still don't appreciate your insults.
Well, I wasn't implying or apologizing for it, for what I said. I mean, I'm not. I was explaining. We're on air all the time. I was separately. Are you even aware you use debate techniques and lawyer tactics, which are extremely dishonest, just like your music, just like your sad music at certain points? Why are you doing that with this corporate Madison Avenue manipulative music like in a drug commercial for Halcyon? Why are you doing that like I am, saying $29.95? Why? Why have you done that?
There's a very big difference, because one is art and one is pure marketing. And, of course, you can say there's a matter of degree between the two.
Uh-huh.
But I exchange things in an artistic. I want to make things interesting for people to relate
to. Cop out.
They can use their own minds. And, you know, this is the nature of reality. But when you put something on $29.95, it's just a general expression, Alex. It's a very simple notion. It's a marketing tactic. My use of music is music that I like to use.
Uh-huh.
That's period.
Well, I like $29.95.
Well, fine. If that's, you want to have that argument, fine. But you're sitting there along with all the other people in Madison Avenue with the same thing. My music is completely individual.
No, let me explain. We use, with truthful information and truthful good products of information, we use Madison Avenue tactics right back against them.
Fine.
I mean, so do you, man. I mean, hold on. Let's talk about you. I mean, don't you work in the whole culture of media? I mean, don't you work in TV?
Yeah, I'm a whore just like everyone else in this system, because I have to survive. Yes.
Oh, good. Well, I just wanted to make sure. But I don't really think of it as...
Okay, go ahead.
No, actually, for the first 6-7 years of my shopping cart, we would say $20. And then I went ahead and just on air said, I'm now, to show you what Madison Avenue is doing, I actually have been into that, you know, have made the point a lot. And a lot of times, even when I plug, well, I don't even really plug the videos anymore. I never even really spend much time plugging them. But I'm not in some guilt. Hold on. I'm not in some guilt if I paint an oil painting of wanting to sell it. Not because I worship a fancy car, because I want a car that drives well and has a good titanium cage, and if I am in a wreck, my children won't be killed. I do like, well, actually, I don't really like nice clothes. I literally have like 50 blue and black T-shirts and blue jeans with holes in them because I like them. But the point is, I'm not into baubles, trinkets, things like that. But I'm not hating materialism. It's just lower on my hierarchy. I don't also go to the extreme of just saying basically anything materialistic is inherently bad. I mean, I need to be able to own my own house. I don't want a bunch of, you know, people in sandals. They're already here stealing farms and ranches everywhere, the phony environmentalists, and then they build giant skyrises on it and are all filthy rich with armed guards. You know, I also see the whole left thing of, it belongs to everyone. I just see that as very dangerous. Another form of tyranny.
Well, I can see why you see that based on what you've said, and I can understand that angle, but I think we should look beyond these points. You see, ownership itself is based on the restriction of others. I'm not saying that people shouldn't have a home where only they are allowed to go into it, but this protectionist element that comes into play with ownership, property, it has extremely negative influences, and this is one of the central points. You can't have a system where everything is hoarded by everyone else.
Yeah, but Peter, you know who I am. When you called up saying, I officially want to sell this now, so I want to get rights to your film, you know, other people called up threatening you. I knew what you were doing. I didn't call up and threaten, because I actually am not very territorial about ideas. I want them out.
Hey, man, I'm not saying that you are.
What I'm saying is I really want to have an intellectual debate with you. I respect you, think you're very talented. We're back to the full audience right now.
Gotta go north, the rest is on. North! To Alaska, go north, the rush is on.
Okay, I got some other clips of Zeitgeist Addendum I want to play. A lot of you will be checking it out. Most of you have already probably seen it. I would challenge folks from the Zeitgeist crowd, to which I respect and enjoy and think are great, but I also like to argue with people, and I am competitive. I can't help it. I was conditioned that way, and I think a little bit of it's the genetics. I mean, in this short segment, for you to say whatever, you know, basically other points you want to make, then I want to play some clips and go through those with you in the next segment, sir.
Okay, well, I can only continue to reiterate my central point, which I don't think has been fully absorbed, and I think everyone listening should seriously consider the reality that human conditioning is the central point. Now, I will jump to the fact that this society that we're talking about can work if people begin to understand what the central elements of it are and how universal these elements are. It's based on the carrying capacity of the Earth. This is not some fantastic notion. It's not something that's not some utopia that someone's inventing. It's not subjective. We want to remove subjectivity and opinion from society to the extent where everything that's created systematically, every system that works in society is derived from a concrete foundation based on the available knowledge, the highest form of available knowledge and technology that we have today. This will never occur in a profit system ever, because it's based on scarcity and reduction and inefficiency, planned obsolescence. We are totally paralyzed. People have no idea how free we could actually be if we allow the fruits of technology to flourish, and then the human value system will undergo incredible change. Will it eradicate all types of aberrant behavior? No, probably not, at least not in any kind of quick time frame whatsoever. However, the pattern and the path is extremely clear. Prisons, police, we buy... You know, these are horrific. We think these are true institutions. We want to, if someone does something, they want to throw them in prison. This is the wrong thing. We want to figure out why they did what they did and address the social conditions that create that environment. Our entire society is completely backwards. We can't function this way, and that is the central core of my thesis and what I want people to think about. Human behavior is influenced to a very, very large extent, and this human behavior is the source of the problem. The New World Order will not change until you address the people that are at the very bottom and why they believe what they do.
Oh, I agree. I say every day a lot of the problems are, you know, it's all of us individually. Look in the mirror if you want to know the bottom line problem and the bottom line solution.
Absolutely. The battle is with yourself. I mean, Alex, your whole website's called InfoWars, and I have to say, you know, I understand where you're coming from, because there is a battle going on, and it's important that people stand up for themselves, but this is not an end disposition. There's a reason why peace protesters are met with guys in riot gear and automatic weapons, because they're waiting for something. They want to perpetuate the war system. They want the us-against-them mentality to flourish, because that's how they maintain control.
Yeah, the teams, and they use the sports teams and all those images to always balkanize us and divide us. Where do you stand on the Second Amendment? There's always going to be bad people that want to hurt good people. Aren't I allowed to have guns?
It is not a matter of allowed to have guns. Is it necessary? And that's the thing I disagree with.
But who's going to decide if it's necessary? Because I assure you...
If there's a need to manufacture a gun, it could happen. However, you're missing the point. You're trying to achieve a system that doesn't have stratification and control. We live in such a stratified control mechanism. There's elitism in every...
Who is going to enforce no one having guns, man?
There's no enforcement. It's based on the understandings and education of what this planet is, who you actually are. This is why I go after religion, because religion is the biggest, most offensive, stagnating element, systematic institution that there is. You cannot have a whole group of people believing in something that stops their intellectual growth. Does that mean they need to be eradicated? Of course not. They need to be educated. Education in our society is completely irrelevant and idiotic. You get an A if you're smart, so to speak. You get an F if you fail. That imposes immediate stratification and immediate competition. The fact is, educational system is a complete joke, because they don't take into account the nature of each individual person. True thought is true. Education is critical thought processes, not retaining information.
Well, I agree. Learning how to think and learning the joys of it. But wait a minute. We've heard all of this stuff about getting rid of test scores, getting rid of that, and it's actually had disastrous effects where it's been tried. I mean,
sure. That's because people aren't prepared for it. They're not ready for it. And this is something that I want to reiterate again. No one's ready for this. If you took somebody right now and froze them in ice, and you had them rethought out and rejuvenated 1,000 years from now in say a resource-based economy, they would be completely obsolete. They would not know what to do. their value systems would be, their conditioning would be absolutely obtuse. They would, most likely, they wouldn't work. In other words, they'd probably kill themselves or they'd do something extremely defensive, and then something would have to happen. This is a value system issue.
What would have to happen?
Something would have to happen where the person would be reconditioned in some way. That's the point.
Re-educated?
The point is the value systems are too different.
I've heard all this before. That's the problem, Peter Joseph. Peter, I've heard all this before.
What do you mean you've heard it all before?
I mean, I've heard all the stuff you're saying before, and let me tell you, it isn't pretty. I mean, re-educated, reconditioned, oh boy. Oh boy, look out. We're going to skip this break, too, on the internet. Peter, again,
that was out of context, and you know it.
I mean, are you for gun control right now? Are you for gun? Are you for me not being able to own guns right now? Because that perpetual?
I don't have an opinion on gun control because it's such a base disposition. It's based on the assumption that you always have to fight and defend yourself.
Well,
and that is what has to be elevated.
Well, I'm still dealing in the world I'm in. I'm trying to people to think. I want people to identify the system and learn the system and learn how they're being manipulated, and then they can, in a true free society, make decisions through that, and then better ideas, better systems will come to the fore and then become dominant if we didn't have this overarching crime syndicate and we were able to educate the public not to reform it.
Sure, yes. In the interim, yes, you have to have protection element. This is a system based on differential advantage. You have to protect yourself. That's what the system
and the government
is.
Has more power. The global corrupt corporations are arming themselves against us. So in this paradigm I'm in, I need to be able to defend myself.
I never said that you didn't have to.
I didn't say you did. I was saying what I thought.
Yes, of course, absolutely. This is the distortion that we currently live in. This system will continue to perpetuate itself until root causes are addressed. Things like tasers. You're sitting there battling these tiny little things, which is good. I think it's great that you go after and you report and you expose all these little things.
We cover it all, though.
They're never, ever going to stop until we adjust the society itself and the environment.
Well, actually, we've called in Austin and San Antonio and Dallas to ban them, and now they're restricting them all over the country and restricting them. The San Antonio police chief just said they're going to take a lot of them away and restrict their use, and so they're being curtailed.
Well, that's good, but I mean, in general, there's always going to be new things that are going to come out. There's always going to be.
Well, here's an example. Bush said we couldn't protest 8 years ago, 7 years ago. They lost a bunch of lawsuits. We fought it. Now they're backing off the free speech zones in a lot of areas.
Yeah, sure. So it has its, as I said.
But I'm not battling little things. I mean, this is a 4-hour radio show. We're covering it all. We bring a lot of.
Yes, I'm saying that it's the larger scheme elements that we have to be concerned with. We can continue to deal with this and resolve certain things, exposing 9/11. I'm for all of this.
Well, you're not going to have the material for any type of society you're talking about, and I agree with a lot of it, without having a generally enlightened public, and the mainstream media's not doing that, so I'm trying in my own little way.
Of course, and I'm agreeing with you, Alex. The mainstream media is conditioning people to support the establishment. Everyone's been brainwashed in this system from top to bottom to support the establishment, and that's what has to change. The change has to begin initially inside, and then we have to adjust the environment to support that change. And until that happens, my point is that it's just going to keep happening. There's going to be something else to replace the change. There's going to be another free speech zone.
Well, I have some little 2 and 3 minute. Well, I agree. The corrupt system continues to generate always more and more of the bad things we're talking about. We're going back live right now. We only got about 27 minutes left, and I got some 2 and 3 minute clips I want to play and then have you comment on them. I think there's 4 of them when we come back, so let's try to play those and then tell folks about your website and how they can buy a video. Here we go.
And the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown.
This song is about being self-sufficient, living on your own property. I believe decentralization is the key. We need more Americans to move to the countryside, to become organic farmers, to create communities where they trade and barter together. You know, not big, huge, expansive thoughts that I think are important, but also the little thoughts, the little things that lead in a journey to something better.
I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn.
But now you can't because they're shutting down the farms and ranches under the phony environmental rules.
make our own whiskey and our own smoke, too.
There aren't too many things these old boys can't do. All right, we are back live with the creator of Zeitgeist, very talented TV editor and producer, Peter Joseph. And working in the corrupt New World Order system, as we all work in it in some way or another, he decided to go out and put it out free on the internet, Zeitgeist. But I do think he should be supported. All alternative films should be. And I think you should, while we're still in this system, buy his DVD. How, unless I'm committing a sin here, how do we buy your DVD, Zeitgeist and then Zeitgeist Addendum?
Now, there's no sin committed. You can get it for $5 from zeitgeistmovie.com. I'm going to have the full disc downloadable in a torrent in high resolution, full resolution, within a day or two, so you can get the whole thing downloaded and burn it yourself.
Okay, fantastic. Let me start getting into these clips, or we'll run out of time. And I want to have you back again, if you'd grace us, to take phone calls in the next month or so.
Sure.
And overall, this will be positive because it's been an enlightening discussion. And if I said mean things, I didn't mean them to be taken meanly. I'm just aggressive, conditioned, warmock. Let's go ahead and... But I'm a good guy, so that's good that I'm warlike fighting the evil, isn't it? Because if we were all passive, we'd be defeated. But I guess, again, that's my... conditioned? I thought it was my genetics, but I think it's both. Let's play a clip from near the first of Zeitgeist Addendum. That's Zeitgeist 2, I guess, for lack of a better word. This is on money and some other issues like the family. Here it is.
In a world where 1% of the population owns 40% of the planet's wealth, in a world where 34,000 children die every single day from poverty and preventable diseases, and where 50% of the world's population lives on less than $2 a day, one thing is clear. Something is very wrong. And whether we are aware of it or not, the lifeblood of all of our established institutions, and thus society itself, is money. Therefore, understanding this institution of monetary policy is critical to understanding why our lives are the way they are. Unfortunately, economics is often viewed with confusion and boredom. Endless streams of financial jargon coupled with intimidating mathematics quickly deters people from attempts at understanding it. However, the fact is, the complexity associated with the financial system is a mere mask designed to conceal one of the most socially paralyzing structures humanity has ever endured. A number of years ago, the Central Bank of the United States, the Federal Reserve, produced a document entitled Modern Money Mechanics. This publication detailed the institutionalized practice...
Okay, that's enough. I mean, that's invaluable information, and he goes through the facts. But to say that these private cartels that sit above the entire world economy, that this fraud is free market. Free market is I raise a bunch of pigs and go and trade them for a bunch of corn to feed more of my pigs, or I'm a gunsmith and I fix somebody's rifle for them, and they give me a little gold piece or a silver piece. So I just think that compared to all the other systems man's tried to create, I don't think it's fair to call this a free market. What we have is private central banking families coming in, getting control of government, and then using that as an engine to expand their control through empire, and it's a totally unfair system. So, I mean, they are the only ones that can create the symbols that are seen as wealth, and it's just a complete fraud. But, I mean, what's wrong with having a government-issued currency that is controlled and that can be expanded or contracted, but having public education and debate about it so that we can grease the skids of interaction, commerce?
Well, sure. I would say that the corruption, of course, is extremely prevalent, but the difference between what I would argue and what you would argue is probably the fact that the corruption you're seeing now is, in fact, created by the system itself. It's simply a matter of time, because the entire monetary system is based on differential advantage. See, in the early days where you actually bartered for something else, there's less likely to be corruption. Now, insider trading, the general manipulation, planned obsolescence. This is a different world with strategies for profit that do not give a damn about humans at all. The human value is second to monetary gain. rampantly. You can see this everywhere.
But how do we even get the public to recognize the Federal Reserve's private and is a fraud? Well, through great films like yours and the Money Masters that we have available, by the way, at Infowars.com, 3-hour film on the subject to really get deep into it. I mean,
of course, that's why I have it in there. My point, though, is that you have to look at the psychological ramifications of the monetary system. You can't have the system. It's not going to work. The corruption you see, like, for example, Ed Griffin put out this extremely projected review of my film, and he states outright that the free enterprise system is great if it was allowed to work. Well, there's no such thing as the free enterprise system. It never existed. It's never going to exist. We have different stratifications.
But when we see it partially existing or in its pure form, it does create the greatest amount of goods and services and homes and food and medicine for the citizenry.
No, actually, resource management and technology creates those things along with human ingenuity.
Oh, really? Cuba's had resource management?
Cuba, is that what you said?
Yeah, Cuba's gone more of any Soviet or communist state.
They still have money. They still have the same type of labor system the rest of the world has. This corruption is just the cartels and everything is a matter of time. Monopoly is a matter of time in this system. This is age old. It's been talked about forever and ever. People don't think about it much anymore. But it's just a matter of time before what I refer to as the world government is world monopoly. You're going to have things. I mean, Walmart is a natural culmination. So people that think Walmart is some kind of, infringing thing that goes into a small town and hurts all the local.
No, it's the more extreme expression of the parasite. Not free market. It's using slave goods in select government deals to come in and displace the free market. And so the public became decadent and corrupt and wanted the cheap goods, so they bought into the slavery. So really, Walmart is slavery.
Sure. Well,
just like prisons are slavery.
All labor systems are slavery. Just because how many American corporations do you think are free market? How many of them outsourced to other?
They're not slavery. If people get shares in it, if people get stock, if through the brand name, it's known that it can be trusted. Let's play clip two. This is a clip two. Here it is from Zeitgeist.
And so, if a man makes money selling a certain product, naturally he's going to fight the existence of another product that may threaten his institution. Therefore, people cannot be fair, and people do not trust each other. A guy will come over to you and say, I got just the house you're looking for. He's a salesman. When a doctor says, I think your kidney has to come out, I don't know if he's trying to pay off a yacht or that my kidney has to come out. It's hard in a monetary system to trust people.
All right, stop there for a second. That's human corruption. That is people who only care about themselves. It's an inner thing, and that's why, because you can't trust that and never will be able to, you need to not be so lazy, folks, and go off references or reviews from reviewers you trust for a movie or for a car or for a website or for a film. You know, it takes not being intellectually, individually lazy, and we've been seduced by Madison Avenue into this. But to then just say that, well, finish the clip, and we'll go back and get our guest comment on it, the maker's comments.
People, if you came into my store and I said, this lamp that I've got is pretty good, but the lamp next door is much better, I wouldn't be in business very long. It wouldn't work. If I were ethical, it wouldn't work. So when you say industry cares for people, that's not true. They can't afford to be ethical. So your system is not designed to serve the well-being of people. If you still don't understand that, there would be no outsourcing of jobs if they cared about people.
Okay, let's stop there. We had the U.S. government and the Chinese government 30 years ago make a deal to selectively allow them to have select cadres of corporations make goods, sell poisonous food, do all of it, and the public was brainwashed to basically accept it. But take Ted Anderson, who owns Midas Resources and sells gold and silver. He told me the other day, he said, yeah, a guy called up, and this is off-air stuff, I know I should be saying it, and wanted to buy maple leaves from me. And Ted said, listen, I didn't get a very good deal on these. You really ought to just buy some silver. And I've got a guy that has some silver, and he just gave the guy the number to call it. And the guy was so happy that he got such a good deal, he called back and bought a bunch more gold of a different type. And then Ted, because he gives business to other brokers he knows, just being nice, Ted then, when nobody else can get gold and silver, these big brokers are selling to him because they and that's not a good old boy network. That's guys. That's Ted wants a good name. Ted wants to be trusted, and he is now. So he's doing very well. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. Well, that's of course going to occur. There's not every single instance is going to be people looking for their self-preservation at that particular moment. However, if Ted was pushed into a corner with elaborate competition from another company that was very, very competitive against his pricing structure, you would see him behave very, very differently. If his livelihood is put in jeopardy, he is going to manipulate his environment to get what he needs.
Nope, Ted almost went out of business 5 years ago, and he still, you know, did it all the right way and came through it and did better than ever. And I think it's that acquiescence that we're just these, you know, these people programmed by society. I mean, there are good businesses. There are good people.
Sure. But
there are people you can trust.
Differential advantage. It's all based on manipulation and advantage, and it's based on humans taking advantage and chiseling off of one another.
That's what humans do. Bad people do that. Good people have to fight them.
That's what this system creates.
That's what we are. Listen, humans made this system. This is what we do.
Now, this is a product of evolution. It's a product of the free market system had its corruptions at the very beginning, and it worked for a certain degree. Now it's time to move forward.
Well, let me ask you this.
Intermediate elements. We need to work on resource management, work with the resources, not the middle elements of money and labor.
Well, I agree with you on that, but before we run out of time, here's an example. You know, we only see a limited part of the light spectrum. The science has shown all these other dimensions. Who knows what lives on other planets? I mean, the point is we have very limited views. What we know today would be total magic 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago. I mean, how can you just say, I mean, I'm certainly religions build a box around it and create priests and get power from it. But I mean, you know, other experiences, you know, the mind within, the soul. You don't believe we have a soul.
Soul based on a traditional definition.
But I mean, how do you know there isn't more? How do you know?
You can't. If you find a whole group of people dancing around a tree, they call it the boo-boo tree, and they sit there and say that this tree has all the power that controls everything. I can't disprove that. I can't disprove it. However, I hold it as extremely improbable.
I'm saying it's a human idea that is central to who we are, and that religion, alchemy, is what developed the sciences, and it's humans knowing there's more, humans pushing the envelope, reaching out into other dimensions.
It's
and then it manifests through ridiculous boo-boo trees, but I mean, just to disdainfully, I mean, there's all sorts of good things that come out of religion. You know, slavery, you could argue, transatlantic, was started by people misinterpreting the Bible, but then it was people interpreting the Bible who then got slavery banned.
Yes, so what? I'm talking about religion as an institution. This is an arbitrary institution. It's pushed upon you, I guarantee you, I bet you $1 million your parents were Christian. You know, this is an environmental distinction. If you were born, again, you say religion is Christ and everything is very important to you, well, guess what? You're born in the Middle East, you'd have a totally different value system, probably have no relationship to Christ whatsoever.
The Middle East is about 25% Christian, actually. But
well, you know what I'm saying. If you were born in an Arabic family, dominant religion of the area, this is the reality. We are.
But let me say this. That's actually, in a way, it's a healthy firewall, because there's new ideas, which are normally old as well, nothing under the sun, repackaged, which are damaging to the family. I think the Arabs saying, we hate your television and your corruptness and your destruction, and obviously they suppress women in their own way, and men as well. But, you know, we don't want to turn our girls into little whores. We don't want to use your drugs. We see your TV, and we call that the great Satan. I mean, in a way, that has allowed them to keep themselves from being dominated by the West. These cultural things we have also have a defensive measure. I'm not saying it's overall positive. I'm saying it has that element. It's there in development.
I totally agree. I happen to personally believe in many of the things that the Christ character has stated. But you know what? I mean, what kind of competition did Christ have? Do you think Christ had guns if he had the option? I mean,
sell your cloak by a sword.
Exactly. But still, you know, if you really look at his teachings, this is a hybrid character. So there's numerous nuances that are going on here that are in dichotomy. But this, what I'm talking
about. Are you saying he didn't even exist, even though the Roman historians and the Jewish historians? You're saying
there are many more Roman historians that have no record of him than there are that say he actually exists. There's maybe four, and they have one line.
No, there weren't even.
I'm not going to go into this debate. I've already gone through this 1,000 times. It's on the website.
Well, you did change some stuff in your first edition of your first one. I mean, you did get a few of those gods and things wrong. I mean, you're not infallible either.
Of course not. I never said I was. I do my research as best as I can, and I present what I learn, and this is how we grow as a society. And religion itself rejects this type of education.
Well, here's the deal. Christians see this New World Order system attacking their religion. And let me tell you, whether you believe it or not, the New World Order, by and large, are Satanist. I mean, they worship death and destruction and me, which is the Madison Avenue God. I mean, certainly you're not ignorant. You know that there is an occult empire.
I'm well aware of it, but I don't recognize it with any type of interest because it's no different than anything else. Of course you're going to have these divisionary aspects. I know about the Bohemian Grove. I'm very familiar with all of this. I know about the occult orders. They've existed for a long time. They're just a bunch of little clubs jockeying for their own ideological and personal power, age-old type of thing. But they are all a product of their conditioning. I'm going to keep reiterating this, and I want everybody out there to go to the VenusProject.com, to go to the ZeitgeistMovement.com, and to think about these ideas and to realize that out of all the things we've talked about, Alex and I, the most important is to realize why people behave the way they do. And I argue that it is not genetics, it is behaviorism based on conditioning. And that is the most important element.
Well, I think that's definitely half of it. We're going to go to break here. Let's go ahead and start playing clip number three.
War, poverty, corruption, hunger, misery, human suffering will not change in a monetary system. That is, there'll be very little significant change. It's going to take the redesign of our culture, our values, and it has to be related to the carrying capacity of the earth, not some human opinion or some politics.
All right, stop there. We'll play the rest after the break. Let me ask you this question. Who does the redesign and who decides the carrying capacity of the earth? Because the New World Order is going to use a false environmental carrying capacity to tax breathing everything. I mean, you're talking hardcore tyranny.
Well, I'm not interested in the New World Order. They have no position in this type of structure. You can always say there's going to be people that try to mess things up. As I said before, the carrying capacity of the earth is just that, the carrying capacity of the earth.
Oh, really? How do you assess that? How do you assess that?
Gauge. You look at everything that the planet has. You look at the systems that are in operation, just like you would a plot of land to figure out what's capable.
Do you believe in global warming? Do you believe global warming's man-made and bad?
I have no opinion on global warming. I've never seen evidence definitively on either side.
It's total crap.
They use it for their own advantage. I don't appreciate that. So, the UN, it's a big joke with these guys. So that's irrelevant to this conversation, though. What I'm talking about is the system.
All right, we're skipping this break. Stay there. Start over. Go ahead. All right, we're now just on the web. Go ahead.
Parameters of the system are self-evident, and this is something that people have to learn about through Jacques' research to understand what he's talking about because it's extremely foreign to what most people have tend to understand and been conditioned to believe. We have the ability to harness a structure that is universal or nearly universal based on our understanding, and everything else will culminate because of this. We live in such a distorted society that these opinions and these biases and these religions and these ideologies are so pervasive that no one has any idea what to believe. The fact is, you break it all down, we need food, we need air, we need water, we need the resources of the planet. Simultaneously, we need to realize that technology is our savior and always has been. We just don't give it that name. We don't recognize it as such. As Carl Sagan used to say, we love the gifts of technology, but we reject its methods. And it's time we utilize the methods and have a world based on what we understand, not superstitions and projections and age-old traditions that are no longer needed and are outmoded and irrelevant. The decision-making process, again, I can't go into the exact details because it's a bottom-up capacity type of thing. You relate to it, you build upon it, the conditions become self-evident, and that's what you need to understand. If you've ever researched the scientific method, you'll see that when you build something, all the conditions become apparent as you work. And this is the most important point. It's an empirical understanding based on the natural carrying capacity of the earth.
Yeah, it's just humans want to differentiate. Humans want to be individual. You know, and that's not an evil, and that's not an evil thing. Well, I mean, can you imagine saying that you're going to build this world when humans do the same thing over and over again instead of acknowledging that we do have faults and do have problems and trying to teach people to stand up for themselves and go after corrupt systems. I'm just trying to have us survive and do that first. And then I always hear the establishment talking about, you know, pie in the sky. I mean, so much of what you said we heard from the New World Order engineers, and they've built a top-down scientific society. They've used the scientific method. You and your guest in the film, your presenters, I mean, they keep saying over and over again, the elite know nothing. They understand nothing. They don't see it. No, there's a bunch of clips where are you saying in the film it's not said that these politicians can't have solutions because they don't understand the system? And, you know,
we're speaking about politicians themselves. You know,
Look, they call it a scientific dictatorship. They say we're cold-bloodedly, scientifically setting up a hyper-dominant system over the population of the planet.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
they are saying that they are. I know. I'm saying that your information is going to go out and it's going to be latched onto. This happens to me as well. I'm just saying, and then spun off into a horrid hybrid.
No, well, this is one of those things that you have to defend against to a certain extent when you're dealing with misinformation and ideologies that are misinterpreted. This is, you know, to talk about this is really futile. It's good to recognize it, but this system has a universal implication. It's a natural progression. The
barriers. All right, final segment. Here we go. Final segment. You're saying it's a natural progression for this system to fall apart, to destroy, and then to be rebuilt. And then you're saying the system you're talking about, are you saying that's a natural progression to move into this resource-based system?
Yes, absolutely, because we've finally realized with our technological understanding that resources can be utilized in a way that does not require scarcity. We can have a world of abundance. I mean an abundance. I mean, I don't have time to break it down right now, obviously, but you have to realize the multiplicity of the things.
No, I understand it. The New World Order knows we can have that, and they're doing, and they're setting up a world. They say it. They're setting up a world tyranny to block us from developing that.
This, I'm not talking about fighting the New World Order. I'm talking about true.
Are you saying
progress.
That they don't know? Because over and over again in the film, it's said that they don't understand, they don't know. No, they do know that this is possible, and their New World Order will take on many of the things you're saying, but only to get their dominance in to block things that empower the individual and the community.
Well, fine, but nevertheless, their tool is money. If you want to see the New World Order stop, you got to get rid of money. They're not going to have anything else at that point. There's such a small elite, they can't even compare to the power of a group identification with the new social system. They have nothing. The next thing that we have to go after are the military and the police and get them converted, because without them, the New World Order can't do anything.
Have you seen the H.G. Wells film? Have you seen the H.G. Wells film, Things to Come?
Not in many years.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of what you're saying. Let's go ahead and play a clip from that. Well, big sigh there. I mean, let's play that H.G. Wells clip, Things to Come, John. Do you have it?
Who are all that are left of the old engineers and mechanics have pledged ourselves to salvage the world. We have the airways, all that's left of them. We have the seas. And we have ideas in common. The brotherhood of efficiency. The freemasonry of science. This is how I conceive our plan of operations. First, the roundup of brigands. That last dismal vestige of ancient predatory soldiery. The last would-be conquerors. Then settle, organize, advance, this zone, then that, and at last, wings over the world, and the new world begins.
And then the film goes on, they go and round up all the evil capitalists, but you're saying that's not what you're saying.
Well, obviously not, Alex. That has no relevance to anything that I've said, and if you look at the research that we've done, that the Venus Project is about, there's no relevance to that whatsoever. There's absolutely no opposition to anything. There is a train of thought that is given in education to people, and they can take it or leave it. And I am of the mind that I think once people recognize this direction, the New World Order, the elitists, the globalists, will not only not have a chance, they will falter and join. And they won't do so because of their own, you know, their own need to try to corrupt the system. People are people. People are products of conditioning, and they want to see themselves live in a capacity which is beneficial to them at their very core. If they've been conditioned into pure corruption, then that's their conditioning, and they will perpetuate that as long as...
Well, I agree to that. I mean, I agree with you to a great extent with what you're saying about that, and that if we build it, they will come. You know, that if people see an alternative throughout the system, they will join it. I'm just saying you're going to find human nature, whatever its cause is, always there, and anybody that tries to override that, that would just create a new tyranny to try to stop it. But overall, I think what you're doing gets people thinking... And that's an important thing. So, Peter Joseph, fire out your websites again.
There's zeitgeistmovie.com. That's the central site for Zeitgeist Project. There's the zeitgeistmovement.com, which we have about 30,000 people joining in about 4 days, which has been very progressive.
And you're going to have the Z movement, too, Z Day.
Absolutely. And then there's the Venus Project.
The Z Force is here. We are here to save you. We are here. We are here to free you. We are here to re-educate you. We'll see what happens with it. Hey, I know you mean well, and you're a great guy. We appreciate you coming on, Peter. Please don't come get me on Z-Day. Please. Please, no. Not that. Not re-education. Not that. No. Hey, take care, bro.
Thanks. All right, man. Take care.
We'll see you. They will be re-educated. Folks, see Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement. There already is a scientific system. It's a scientific dictatorship. Retransmission starts right now. One place, Infowars.com, with power-packed info. Take care.